The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From Juan's kitchen table, where I'll do this semi-quietly because I'm holding a baby, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe.
Wah, wah.
Recorded. I didn't record any of that.
Bummer.
Damn it.
And by didn't record, he means just quickly deleted all of.
Yeah, it's gone.
Are you recording now?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box, your number one best ever podcast about.
Why are you laughing, asshole?
About whatever we want it to
be
about.
Where that was going.
Because he forgot that this is episode number 38, I think is what he was
that
trying to get
at. That is exactly what was happening. Anyways, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm John.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. What? I was being enthusiastic.
Hey.
Hey.
You got mail. Hey.
Oh, man.
And we're already way off track.
I did that for like 3 months when that skit came out, and it drove my friends
He's
crazy.
Cool.
Yay. You've got mail. Yay.
I got mail. Yay.
That's like my version of Whammy for one.
Yes.
It's like, oh, stop making that noise.
Nothing annoys me, though, as much as things annoy you.
Everything annoys me.
That's true.
It's awesome. So, obviously, we like to start off with news.
With
is that
sex
sizzling
news?
Sizzling bacon in the background?
It is sizzling bacon in the background.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, you need to come here at some point in your life.
Oh,
who does?
He's
you.
Been here.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be mean.
I'm not
don't
being
be mean.
Hey, are you trying to fire John?
No.
Jesus, Juan, am I off the show?
I invited him to my house. How is that firing him?
Why are you trying to fire?
What you did was make it so we didn't go to his place.
That's
come to
not
my
true.
House,
big
fired.
Difference.
We go there still every time that we're supposed to.
Big difference.
Except for next time because Easter's.
Easter and the bunny.
Oh, are we skipping John's next
we're not,
time?
I don't we're remember. Just like, we're going to mine and then to his.
Oh, okay. We're doing them backwards.
Yeah.
You're doing a road trip.
Doing a road trip.
I really am doing a road trip in July.
Let's talk about it.
July.
Well, we already talked about it on the last episode. We're going to San Diego Comic Con.
I know that. But
what?
So let's.
What?
Let's say, so you're going to San Diego Comic Con.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, you're going like. For the show in general, but
correct.
In specific, what are you the most excited about for San Diego?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing specifically, and yet, because they're still announcing things, like not everything is announced yet. I'm only going to be there 2 days, so I don't know that I'm going to stand in line and wait for
right,
Hall
might.
H. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm going to do that, because for the first time, I think I want to try and just experience as much as I can.
Like more like a sightseeing
right,
thing. Than
instead
a-
of, because I really do want to do panels, but I don't know that I can fit that in 2 days plus see a bunch of stuff.
Right.
You can't. I'll just tell you right now, you can't, but you
can't.
Can try.
Okay, I thought you said can. No, I'm not even
no.
going to try. That's what I'm saying is, if I'm just going to be there for the 2 days, I just want to walk around then. I won't even try panels.
So, in general, like, because con season is, like, now officially upon us. Like,
right.
I always feel like Starfest here in Denver is kind of like the start of, like, con season in general. Like, you know, that early, you know, March kind of early spring all the way into the end of summer. So what would you guys say? Like, is there somebody that you're excited that's coming to, like, one of the nearby conventions? Or is there, like, just something in general you love about conventions? Like, what is it that you guys are excited about for con season this year? Like, I, for one, I'm super stoked that Colorado Springs Comic-Con has slowly been adding more and more people that are in, like, that Kevin Smith circle. Like, Brian O'Halloran is going to be there, and Ming Chen is going to be there, and I'm really hoping eventually they're going to be like, and Kevin Smith! And I'll be like, please be on our show! I fucked it up last time!
Yeah, you did.
Gabe will give you 2 blowjobs.
Hey!
At the same time.
Wow, I don't even know how that works.
Yeah. Neither will he till it happens.
I don't know what else. I mean, what's the one in is it August or September? Is that Cheyenne or
I think that's a Cheyenne
Colorado
one.
Springs.
Colorado Springs is at the end of August.
So that's okay. The one. Because the other one, the Cheyenne one, which I was thinking about going to, is over Mother's Day weekend, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mess with that weekend, so I'm going to miss that one. But I think I'm going to do, obviously, I'll be there at least for 2 days of DCC.
Yeah.
And then the 1 day or maybe, but may for sure 1 day for the Colorado Springs one and then San Diego Con. Those are the three that I know I'll be at for sure.
And we'll probably do Fort Collins Comic Con again this year.
And they haven't announced anything for it yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Because it was huge and like really successful. Right. So.
Well, and there was also the Fort Collins Comic, the one that was run by CSU folks.
Are they doing, have
and
you heard
that,
anything
I haven't heard
that?
Anything about that one either.
I haven't either.
So I got to hear about the really weird one through like a back channel where my friend knows somebody that works at Weldworks, which is like a local brewery. And there's like a random, like they're calling it a comic convention, but it's really just kind of seems like.
Is that the bar thing?
Yeah. Like a, let's have an excuse to like wear costumes at a bar. Like, I don't know. Cool. It's just kind of cool. They're calling it like the Weldworks Comic Con. It's happening like next Saturday or something like that. So,
and it's going to 11.
Yeah, it's from like
3
to 11.
I've always wanted to go to Weldworks too. I heard they usually get voted.
Award.
Yeah.
I think they were like voted the third best like brewery in the country or something like
but
that.
But they usually get some Greeley accolades too.
Yeah, but those aren't real accolades. Those smell like cow shit.
Hey, buddy, that's money. That's money in your pocket.
That's the stupidest sentence ever. No, it's not money in my pocket.
You know why that is? My father used to work at a feedlot.
Yeah.
So that's just a very familiar smell to me. So I it's not that I love it or anything. It doesn't bother me because it's very familiar to me.
Juan is saying that he loves the smell of bullshit.
I'm okay with that. Yes. I am excited, and
good
I don't
know. I will surprise you with something next time.
With bullshit? You give me bullshit all the time I talk to you.
Silence.
Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited. I don't know if you guys looked at the Facebook page last night, but I inked up on I always forget his name, but Johnny from Karate Kid will be there, and Ralph Macchio from Karate Kid will be at Denver Comic Con,
and the Cobra leader is going to be there too.
Yeah, the coach.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that. But so I inked up on a Cobra Kai headband and a Miyagi headband.
Nice.
And I'm gonna have him sign them when I go down there.
That's cool.
So.
I don't know who I'm excited to see. I'm excited to go to Denver again and just be there at the booth. I definitely want to get, like, I didn't realize Yannick Paquette's been there for the last few shows, so I want to get a couple of things signed by him. And Len Wein, and I hope they announce more stuff. And, you know, I don't know that I want to go get anything signed by Stan Lee. Is that weird? Does that crucify me as a nerd?
No, I have no desire.
I have a desire.
I mean, it's going to be crazy expensive, and you're going to have to wait in line forever for it.
But those lines usually, because they cut off, there's only a certain amount that they let buy, because you have to buy those things early, and there's only a certain amount of people that, like, passes or whatever they call it that you can purchase. And then those lines usually go pretty quick, at least at DCC, because I've stood in a few of them.
I guess for me, it's not as big of a deal. Like, it'd be cool to talk to him, to chat with him, to tell him, hey, thank you for creating the things that, like, made me a sane human being through, like, middle school and high school, and that I still love, you know? But as far as like paying to get a signature from him and stuff, like I guess paying for signatures kind of bugs me, because all they're doing is signing something that they already made and that you already bought, you know?
Right.
So here, I don't want him, I'm gonna have him sign something, but I'm gonna take a picture with him too.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have him sign that. I don't want him to sign a comic book. I want to be able to hang a picture that we took with him and hang it on the wall and have him sign that.
See, now
that's
cool.
More important to me. I don't comic book whatever, because I'm never going to sell that, my comic book collection, as far as I know, you know. So that doesn't appeal to me. I don't care about that.
Right. I can agree with that. Like, I can see how that's a cool, cool thing to do.
Yeah.
What do you think, Felicity? What do you think? Yeah, get that beam.
Sounds so weird.
I know it does, but so
there's a big list. I wanna go see Ralph Macchio. I wanna see Stan Lee. I wanna see John Davies Rice. I wanna see. I think there was like three other people that I just wanted to see, and I had to kind of narrow that down because I don't want to spend a shit ton of money.
Right.
Sure.
Bailey makes it clear, effectively every other day, that she wants to see the guy who plays Penguin. Was
oh,
I can only think of the yeah. Lord Taylor part.
It's Robin Lord Taylor.
Robin Lord Taylor, yeah.
Which is ironic because he plays Penguin.
I never thought of that.
I want to see him. Alfred will be there, the butler from yeah. that show. I mean, there's a really good list of people from. You know, TV shows and stuff that are going to be there.
The lady that plays Gordon's girlfriend and Inara on Firefly yeah. is going to be there.
Morena.
What was that, John?
Her name's Morena.
Hi, will you sign my tits?
Oh my God, I would pay so much money for you to say that to her.
Yeah.
And then you would promptly be escorted out of the building. So you were talking about Facebook, and I wanted to give a shout out to two of our Facebook followers. So I posted a picture from Weird Love that is this old guy talking about how, you know, women are yeah. cowardly yes. and trembling sort of thing, and, you know, that you need to go find a weak woman and marry her, right? So a guy named King James with a Z tagged Jazz R. Will, who I assume is his girlfriend, because the ensuing, like, comment thread completely made my day. So Jazz responded, "You obviously want to die tonight. I don't support this message." And he just responded with a laugh. And then he told her to shut up and kneel. And then she began to send, like, angry, like, gifts to him for, I don't know, the next 45 minutes or so. And then they made up and started, like, sending, like, kissy face gifts to her, to each other. And then he's like, "No, but seriously, go cook me dinner." And she responded with, he says, "Now cook." And then she's like, "I want to punch you right now." And it was just, it was really, really funny because, like, they just went back and forth forever. And it was, like, one of those days where I was just kind of like, "Oh, man, today's lame. I hate work. I hate everything." And then that came up and it just, it cracked me up. So I wanted to tell them thank you, I guess, and give them a shout out on the show because that was seriously funny as shit. So
that's awesome.
My wife also commented that she would punch that old man right in the kisser.
It was pretty funny when I read it. It made me laugh.
Dude, when I read it, it made me laugh. That's why I took a picture of it. Oh, you mean the thread, not the shut up one.
No, the actual frame from the comic book made me laugh. The old guy made me laugh.
Weird Love is amazing.
But where I was lost, I was like, I wonder what happened before and after this frame. So
the whole story arc of that particular story is like this guy is raised by that old man, so he thinks women are, like, you know, frail and that he'll have to save them and all this other stuff. And the rest of the story goes on where he, like, falls in love with this girl and they get into, like, all these perilous situations and she ends up saving him like over and over again. And it's pretty hilarious. Eventually he's like, "Maybe women aren't as frail as I thought. I should marry this one." It's like, yeah, that's why I married a strong one, so that if I get sucked into the undertow of the ocean, you can come save me.
Sucked into the camel toe of the ocean.
Oh.
Two blowjobs at once. From one person somehow. Oh, man.
Buddy.
Side note. Our first Honda of Greeley flag football game is going on right now. No, 12:35, actually. That's pretty cool.
2 weeks ago?
No, like a month ago, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at the rate you're
buddy,
going.
I'm trying. I'm trying here.
Yeah.
Buddy,
that's
okay.
What they say, buddy.
It's so hard.
That's what she said.
That's what I said.
So instead of just one-liners,
rambling,
yeah,
idiotically.
Rambling one-liners.
How about fucking Spider-Man in this?
Yes, that's first on my list.
How could it not be first on all of our lists? All right, so around the proverbial table, starting with John, since he can't see us do this.
I cannot see you do this.
Spider-Man.
He's doing weird shit with his hands.
Spider-Man like or dislike, John?
I didn't hear that last part. Spider-Man what?
Spider-Man like or dislike?
Can I go middle of the road?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. And then,
okay.
How comes?
So, like, the first, and this is idiotic that we're going to talk about this, and it's a fictional thing, but, like, how does he make the eye, the pupils in his mask squint? How does that happen?
See, that's exactly what Bailey said. Like, yeah. Why do his eyes move? And I was like, well, if it's skin tight on him and he moves his face, then his mask would move. That was my justification.
But not his eyes. Like, that's not, if he closes his eyes and he's got a mask on that's skin tight, you're not going to see eye pupils close on the mask.
You don't know that.
Because your eyes are magic? Recessed in your head.
What if it's magic?
Maybe he built something on the thing so that he can block something from spraying in his eyes.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, somebody at the shop the other day said, well, maybe it's like a camera lens. And I was like, well, that makes sense because he's a photographer and all. But
oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Overall, I dig it. He just looks really soft and fuzzy to me.
I think there's probably some post-work that still needs to be done.
Yeah.
But they wanted to get that reveal out so it... Because that's kind of how it felt. Like, it felt fuzzy, yeah. Not sharp. So, right. I don't know.
But, I mean, somebody had posted a picture of the...
high-res picture.
The comic book costume from Civil War and what he was wearing in the trailer. Exactly, and they look exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, Juan, like or dislike?
I was excited. I really liked it. Mostly, and I guess I don't pay attention.
You're the Spider-Man.
I am. So that's what was getting me. Like, I didn't, the first time I saw it, I didn't pay attention to his eyes or the costume. It was more, sweet. Oh my God, he's here. And it's excitement. Like, it's exciting because it's been building and building, and you didn't know if they were going to show him until, you know, in the trailer or if we were going to have to wait until the movie.
Right.
And when the day before, when they said Spider-Man might appear in the next trailer, I fucking locked onto that trailer that next morning. I couldn't hear it because I was watching it somewhere where I couldn't hear it. I just watched it. And it was just fucking awesome. Like, I loved it. I love that, you know, Iron Man just casually is like, all right, I'm fucking over this. Like, let's, you know, and he calls him Underoos, I think.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But it's hilarious, and I'm excited. I'm excited because I think they're going to take it they're going to take the role real serious, and that's different from the third, you know, Tobey Maguire or whatever the fuck his name is movie, and I just didn't like the other ones. I hated them.
The Amazing Spider-Mans weren't that great. So.
But I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
You guys ready
for it? I'm excited to see his flip-flop.
You guys ready for a shocker?
You hate it!
I fucking love it. It looked awesome. Like, the first time I saw it, so we're at work, and Nate comes up to me after his break. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Wait a minute.
So... he comes up to me after his break, right? And he goes, dude, Civil War trailer dropped. Have you watched it yet? I'm like, I'm right here. Like, like, how in the world would I have watched it? So you got to go watch it. So I'm dealing with having to manage my data on my phone for the first time, like, ever. So I like, intentionally, like, don't watch videos at work and stuff like that. And I was like, and I told him that. He's like, just stop being a bitch and go watch it, man. And so I literally took a break right then, went to the break room, watched it, and was just like that scene where he's all, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
Underoos. I'm like, oh, right. My God. And then Nate had not mentioned that Spider-Man was
right.
In it. So you see the web, pull the shield away, and then you see it like handcuff Cap. And I'm like, fuck yes, this is awesome. And it was, I'm with Juan, just that level of excitement to see Spider-Man. Like, I, for one, am a huge fan of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
Like, I love Sam Raimi. Like, Spider-Man's story has always been fun for me. Like, even when I was a kid, you know, here I am collecting, you know, Conan and Ghost Rider and, like, all that other stuff. But I always collected Spider-Man 2099 because I thought it was, like, super cool character. So,
nice.
I've always kind of dug Spider-Man, and it was cool to see him on this screen interacting with somebody other than just his, like, canon
his
of
enemies.
Campy fucking villains.
Yeah.
Like, right. So, yeah, I was stoked. I'm still stoked. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be Hannah's fifth birthday present to go
nice.
See it.
Nice.
Her boyfriend made a movie just for her.
Nice.
that's what she thinks, at least. So.
Speaking of her boyfriend, the other cool thing about this trailer, that I really liked was...
I could do this all day.
Yeah. Well, that too, but the cool... during that part, I mean, if you watch the first trailer, you see Iron Man getting his ass kicked, you know, by both Captain America and Bucky Barnes. But in the second one, you see Iron Man getting the best of Captain America, so it doesn't seem so one-sided anymore, you know, and I really like that. I really like Captain America looking vulnerable. I mean, he looked like he got his ass whooped by Iron Man.
The scene that Nate really keyed onto in the trailer that, like, just kind of was mind-blowing for him is when Iron Man puts on his watch. He takes his watch and it puts on the glove for him. And then he grabs Bucky's gun and Bucky pulls the trigger. And Iron Man has this look on his face like, holy shit, he just tried to shoot me. Like, he literally he just tried to kill me. Like, because Bucky's not a hero. Like, right. Bucky's, you know, the Winter Soldier.
He doesn't have that kind of moral, like, okay, this is where I need the line to be.
Like, his job is that he eliminates his enemies. Like, and that was, Nate was like, dude, that looks cool. It looks intense. Like, I mean, it looks...
Even though Tony put his hand on the gun where it would have blown his thumb off.
Oh, yeah.
No way, buddy. He had the iron thing on. No,
only on the one hand.
No amount of armor is going to prevent it from tearing his fucking thumb off.
Yeah. Like,
you're like, no amount of armor is sturdy enough. Like, right. your thumb is pathetic and weak.
At first, when I saw it, I thought he got shot in the face.
I thought it hit his glasses,
and yeah,
too.
That's what I thought at first. I was like, whoa, he has iron glasses.
Also, really ineffective.
How about Ant-Man riding on Hawkeye's arrow tip?
Shit, yeah. That was awesome. I watched the trailer like 3 or 4 times because there were a few things where I was like,
oh, yeah.
What the hell is he flying between? And I was like, oh, that's Iron Man's
hand. That's somebody's fingers.
It gives him the opportunity to do like weird perspective shifts because he's so small and like he can do all sorts of crazy crap.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I'm excited.
And everything about the Marvel movies just makes me more and more excited for the one that I'm looking the most forward to, which is Doctor Strange. Like, just they visually nail that so well, and they've nailed every single one of them so well that I can't wait to see what they do with Strange.
I'm excited more because I don't know anything about Doctor Strange. I'm excited more how tonally that's going to change the movies, because if Doctor Strange ever ends up together with the rest of, you know, the universe, it's got to take a different, like, even adding Scarlet Witch in this movie is probably, when she's on screen, it might be a little bit different as opposed to being comic booky. And I think that's going to be a welcome change. I'm excited to see how that makes everything look.
Well, the introduction of, like, the, you know, the cosmic stuff, like, especially in the Thor movie and you know, the Thor movie and the other Guardians of the Galaxy has been really cool. So it'll be cool to see, like, what they do with, like, the mystical stuff. Because there's a ton of room to work within, like, Marvel's mystical universe that can just be absolutely visually stunning and, like, narratively super compelling. So I'm stoked on it.
How about Sylvester Stallone was cast in Guardians?
I literally just wrote that down.
It is.
That's kind of weird.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, the article said that he was going to be, like, a raider of some sort. He was going to be, like,
I heard that he was going to be part of Yondu's Ravager crew.
Yes.
I also heard that he might be a Nova Corps member. And it's like, if he's Nova Corps, that's just Judge Dredd, you guys. I am the law.
I am the Nova Corps. Adrian, whoa, wait, wrong movie.
I mean, he just came off of Creed, which he's been getting so much praise for.
Right.
You know, so if... I don't know if he's gotten, like, better at acting, you know, through the years.
Nope.
Because I haven't seen Creed, but... He's gotten, people were outraged that he didn't get an Oscar.
So,
like, he's done a lot better in his old age.
I wouldn't say he's gotten better at acting through the years. I would say that he's gotten better at accepting roles that fit, like his particular brand of character right. acting. So like sense. In Rocky, he's amazing. And in like Rambo First Blood, he's amazing. Like he's a really good actor when it comes to playing like that thing. In Rambo 3, he's like a caricature of himself and it's ridiculous right. and stupid. But he does blow up a helicopter, so it's totally okay. Like, you know, I think he's just becoming better at choosing things that fit how he acts. And, like, he doesn't have to, like, rely on an agent or right. anything anymore to bring him roles. He's Sylvester Stallone. He creates roles for himself. Like, he created Creed. He created right. Rocky Balboa. You know, and now he's able to say, okay, you know, I'm going to do this thing where I'm, like, throwing back to, like, those old action movies right. that I was in. You know, he doesn't need to be in Over the Top ever again. That movie's awful. You know, he can be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, play something campy almost as like a bit part and make a ton of money.
I really yeah. feel like he's a better orator though. I feel like he could take Guardians of the Galaxy role, especially if he was in the Nova Corps, if a lot of what he was, maybe he's a captain or somebody high up or something, and a lot of what he's doing is speaking. I think he's good at that,
really?
To be I think so, personally. Because that's what made Balboa, that's what made Balboa good, and again, I haven't seen Creed, so I don't know, but that's what a lot of people are praising him for in Creed as well.
Like, I think he can give a good monologue, but I don't know that that fits into Guardians of the Galaxy
right.
very well.
Right.
It like, just depends on what he's doing.
I think Camp Stallone is what you need in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, not yes. Serious Stallone. Serious Stallone, I feel like people would be like, wait, what the fuck is going on right now? Now, so I was thinking about, I was literally just thinking about this because you mentioned Dredd, okay? So there's this commercial going on right now that is Bill Pullman and the guy that played the president in The West Wing, okay? And it's like a Lincoln Continental commercial where – or something like that, where they pull up next to each other and they're basically talking about how like presidential the Lincoln Continental is. How awesome would it be to see like commercials or like weird little vignettes that show like – both people who have played Dredd interacting with each other as Dredd, or like both people yeah. who
I played, am the law.
Yeah,
like, no, I am the no, law.
Yeah, exactly. Like both people
like,
that
like they both pull somebody over.
Yeah, they. You know the. I'm in charge of this. No, I'm in charge of this situation. Like, you know, or like both guys that have played John Constantine, or like the three people right. that have played Spider-Man. Like, how fun right. would it be to see like some of those interactions of, you know, three different interpretations of like
cool.
the same character. Oh no, yeah. You saying Dredd just really made me think of that. That'd be awesome. That so, is
speaking of different interpretations of the same character. I'm looking at the thing on Facebook right now that has it says at the top, it says Danzig or Sigourney Weaver.
Oh my god, I love that. And they look exactly the same. It's so weird.
Oh man.
And like almost all the pictures of Sigourney Weaver are from the Alien films, which makes it even better. Like
yep. Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy news, Kurt Russell supposed to yes. play Star-Lord's father.
I feel like that nails it. Like, I mean, Kurt Russell feels like the acting father of somebody like
what's that guy's name?
Chris Pratt. That's it. Thank you. Sorry. That was going to drive me crazy.
Peter Quill. Yeah. He fits that movie, I think, well, because he's done a lot of campy, really
comedic
yeah.
action. Yeah.
I mean, Big Trouble, Little China. Exactly.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
Or even like a movie like Death Proof, which is like a little more serious, like yes. it's still like an action movie, but it's like really campy and like really funny. I mean, Stuntman Mike, he's awesome.
Yes, it was awesome. That movie is the shit.
So we've heard of all the like kind of Justice League members that may or may not come out in Dawn of Justice. So they've talked about there being a scene with the Flash that may or may not be a dream sequence. And a picture has leaked of the Flash with like what looks like kind of battle damage armor. And
I think
like
it looks terrible.
Crazy lightning ears. That it's funny when I showed the picture to Mel yesterday. She's like, that looks kind of silly. I'm like, it looks exactly how his costume looked in the 80s, but that doesn't translate very well to like film, I don't think. But
I have not seen that picture.
It looks a little weird.
Well, there were rumors before any of this even started that the Flash's costume would be more armor-like than it would be the suit.
Right.
So, I mean, that just, to me, was kind of weird.
So they've talked about Green Lantern may possibly show up in this one. That's, you know, been floating around. Obviously, you know, Wonder Woman is going to be in it. We've seen her in the preview. She's been in the preview. Like, she has to be in it, right? I don't know. Maybe not.
They cut her in the final fucking movie. God,
so obnoxious. But the thing that I feel like is of the most interest to John.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Where are like all of the little hints and drops at Aquaman? Do you think Aquaman is going to be in this one?
I think he has to be because they're making such a big push marketing and merchandising wise. You know, he's got pops, he's got toys, he's got, I don't think he's going to be a big part of the movie, but I think he's going to be in there for, you know, a very, very brief, just kind of snippet of time.
Like a cameo? I just would love to see like an action shot of him or...
Me too. Or, you know, just him, you know, doing something in the armor with the tridents, just
standing something. On
but at the same
set,
time, I'm
anything?
Really glad that they're not doing that because I want to see it at the movie.
Yeah, this is true. You know, so, it's funny because like I complain about that fairly regularly, that they show too much in a preview, and so by the time like you get to the movie, all the big reveals are gone. I mean, they literally just did that with Civil War, like the Civil War trailer, but I still loved it. I don't get there's this disconnect for me mentally where sometimes I feel like they're trying so hard to like get you to like the movie that they give you too much, as opposed to holding it back until like right before it comes out and hear something awesome.
But I think again, especially with these big kind of summer blockbustery movies, you have to remember that not everybody digs as deep and looks into things as people like us, you know what I mean? You have to give a reason for an audience, you know, if they're not into, maybe they're not into, you know, Captain America or Iron Man, you have to give them more of a reason to come. And just that quick peek of Spider-Man, I think, attracts a whole nother audience of people going, I didn't know he was going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
right, absolutely.
Who knew?
Because everybody up until this point who's seen any of the Marvel stuff that's been Avengers-oriented, you know, I don't know that most of the average public is dialed in the way we are. Not that we're super dialed in, but, you know, like, if the average Joe Schmo, you know, just expected a movie where Iron Man and Captain America are fighting each other and then Spider-Man shows up, that would be pretty crazy, even though everybody that's, you know, in touch with the geek community knows that that's coming.
Right. I think that's a reveal that needed to be shown even for a small glimpse beforehand, because I think you lose you don't lose potential audience, but you don't attract that potential audience if you don't show him. You know what I mean? Because if you're a big Spider-Man guy and you don't know he's going to be there, you might not show up opening night. You know what I mean? But giving you just that quick little glimpse, you might go, holy shit, I'm more excited for this movie now. I have to go see it.
Sure.
I can see that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Because it's just, you're dealing with so many different superheroes, you know what I mean?
And, like, the numbers just growing and growing and growing. Like, it's, by the time we get to, like, the whole, like, Infinity Gauntlet thing, they're saying there's going to be, like, 60 characters on screen at once and stuff like that.
Black Panther still looks awesome.
Dude, that scene.
Running on the street and catching up to a motorcycle. Like,
when
it's
he
just
like
fucking
swipes
awesome.
At the tire and like blows it out. I can't wait to see that.
But yes, I think Aquaman's going to show up. I just don't know that they would go through that amount of, you know, merchandising aspect to not have him show up. That would be a huge letdown for me, and I don't know if it would be for anybody else because nobody else likes Aquaman, but I'd be pretty bummed.
See, and this particular movie, I'm glad they've held some of these things back because I don't think that, you know, let's say Aquaman or Flash or Green Lantern, I don't think they're going to have such a big role in the movie. So to get people excited about coming to see these people, and if he's only in the movie for like 3 minutes, that actually lets people down. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Whereas Spider-Man might be in a lot of the new Captain America movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think they're different.
I like what Batman Superman is doing as far as those kind of cameos and things go.
Like I said, there's going to be something. It since it's called Dawn of Justice, I don't expect to see, you know, a ton of stuff about all of the different seven Justice League members. But you know, even if they mention and show a picture of Hal Jordan or Ezra, you know, Barry Allen as the Flash, I think you're going to get little nods to that. I don't know. I could be completely fucking wrong, and I hope that I am. But who knows? I'm just really excited, and it's later this fucking month, you guys.
Oh, buddy, it's the so.
I really want to see it, and like Mel is completely uninterested. Like it's just like it's one of those things where like. Sometimes I have to like cater to like my wife's will when we go to like see movies and stuff like that. But sure. This time I want to see it, even if I have to go by myself to see it.
Like, Alicia just gave me the look.
Juan, I'll take you out. We'll go on
a
date.
I was just going to tell you, Holiday Twin, the drive-in, that's going to be on the they've announced that that'll be one of their very first movies on opening day.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to go watch it at the drive-in. They just haven't announced what the other movie will be.
Nice.
So I'm for sure going to go see it. It sounds like we're for sure going to go see it at the drive-in when it first comes out.
Dude, let me know. Yeah,
it's $7 dude, for two movies.
The Hollywood Holiday Twin is like absolutely one of my favorite things to do. Like Mel and I make sure to do it at least like once or twice every summer.
Right.
Like
that's cool.
That's where we saw Jurassic World. That's where we saw Return to Planet of the Apes,
nice.
Which is or that's not what it's called.
The second one. There's fucking all kinds of weird names for those.
Dude, there's like a gajillion Planet of the Apes movies. That's my favorite thing in the whole world.
But that so I'll be seeing that at the drive-in when it first comes out later this month, and I'm really excited.
Let us.
I'm a fucking giant nerd, and I'm just excited for everything that's happening this year.
Like let us know when you're going to go to the drive-in to do it, because if you do, we'll get a sitter for Hannah, and if Mel doesn't want to go with me, I'll take like Bailey or Ashton or something, because I really want to see that movie like big time.
That's cool.
Because. Batman. I love Batman. Like, I get that it's like Dawn of Justice and it's Superman versus Batman and all this other stuff, but the reality is I only want to see the movie because I want to see Batman beat the crap out of Superman. Like, that's really sure. all I want.
And it's, you know, the fighting style from the snippets of stuff that we've seen from the trailer, you know, it looks like the Batman that we should have had a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love the Christian Bale stuff, but it's still, I think we talked about this last time, or I talked about this with the guy at the store. You know, it's still, you know, very much a guy in a rubber suit, and his mobility is relatively limited. And from what we've seen from the trailer, that's just how, in my mind, Batman would fuck shit up.
So,
because you never saw him making things that he could wear on his body in the other movies. You know what I mean? He came up with different cars and different things like that, but you didn't ever see him anything but his rubber suit,
right?
His underoos.
So the only thing that I don't like about Dawn of Justice, and I didn't like this about Catching Fire either, is this new trend to take a clip from a movie that features the car that you're trying to shill and making a car commercial out of it. So there's a Jeep Renegade commercial that shows Ben Affleck driving through the wreckage that Superman's causing. And it's like, you know, for a heroic life, you need a heroic car.
Well, Jeep they did the Renegade. Same shit I'm with like, Dodge and Star Wars.
I know. I'm just like, Jesus this Christ. Is bullshit. Superman doesn't destroy buildings in real life. You don't need a car for like the superhero apocalypse. You need a car that gets you back and forth to work.
Funny about that?
Zombies.
Literally, what's funny about what you just said and what Gabe just said, Hyundai, when The Walking Dead started getting really popular, they have a Hyundai
zombie car,
and it comes with the survivor pack and some other different things for the apocalypse.
You know, just in case zombies kill us all. Like, fucking bullshit. Like, stop trying to sell me stuff when I'm already buying something.
Don't try and sucker me into something that I love.
Like, I love Batman until I can go to, like, my local Honda dealership and buy a tumbler. Not fucking interested. Like,
that's what you should be marketing.
I know. Like, I would buy the shit out of. I would buy a tumbler. Like,
that's your tagline. It's basically a tank. You know?
It's basically a tank. For those times you need to destroy your enemy's house.
And then ride off on a motorcycle that comes out of your car.
We've got that.
So I just read a little spoiler here from Civil War. So
Aquaman will be in Civil War.
Yeah. There's a trident in Captain America's yes. chest.
Not a Namor, that loser.
But so somebody broke down a still from the trailer, and in the shot we were just talking about where Captain America and Iron Man are fighting, in one of the shots, Iron Man, you see Captain America in the, like, if I were looking at him, he'd be facing me. And in the background, which is really quick and you don't see it, you don't notice it, is Bucky Barnes laying on the ground. And if you zoom in, his whole bionic arm is ripped off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So at some point during the Iron
Somebody
Man Captain
tears
America,
Bucky's arm.
Yes, and he's just laying intense. On the ground. Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, just looking at that, that may be why Captain America, when he looks like crap, is not giving up. You know what I mean?
Right, because he's protecting
right.
Bucky.
Right.
Do you think we'll see Hulk in this movie at any point?
No.
You don't think so? Not even a cameo from Mark Ruffalo?
I don't think so.
Huh. I would say maybe a cameo by Mark Ruffalo.
But not like the Hulk.
Not Hulk.
But I don't think fully Hulked out. No, I don't think so.
I think you'll probably get references to it. You'll probably hear, you know, Iron Man talking about him or something like that, but I don't think you'll see him.
I agree with you guys.
Because he's lost somewhere right now.
So in proof that our favorite hobby is taking over pop culture, a pilot has been ordered for Jason Aaron and R.M. Guerra's Scalped. So when they're like,
yes, I saw that.
Like, this is a super cool comic book.
I don't know what it is.
I really like it. It's amazing. But it is like digging so deep into comic culture to find something that you can turn into TV culture, like that it's interesting to me. Like, it's to the point where people are like, all right, what overlooked gems are out there? Like, if we go ask a comic book nerd, like, what are the top 50 comic book, like, series of all time? Like, when we get to like 48, 49, and 50, that's where they're at. Making like, you know, making TV shows, they're like, they've gone through like the top 10 years ago. They've gotten through the top 25 when they got to about Constantine, and they're like digging into like the top 50. Like, it's interesting. Like, comic books are driving television and movies right now in a really weird way that's completely unprecedented.
When they did the whole, I don't know if you saw that there was a con kickoff event that was a thing at local comic shops, if the local comic shops wanted to participate, Dan DiDio, who's the, I don't know, one of the big wigs at DC. I don't know if this is a CEO or CFO or C something O.
I'll look it up.
But
he's a C insert some letter O.
Yeah, he's some kind of chief officer of something. He said that his next project is to get the DC animated folks to do Alan Moore's Swamp Thing as an animated series, like an animated movie, you know, like they have Justice League War and all that sort of stuff. And that would be amazing.
I can't express to you how true it is that I can't stand up. Everybody would see my average size boner.
Like, yes.
Nobody would see it.
Yeah, that's true. But oh my God, it's funny. I was talking with Matt yesterday, and we were talking about, would they ever be able to make a Swamp Thing movie? And my literal response to him was, it would be way better served as a TV show. Like, nice. Swamp Thing would make a much better TV show, because you can take the time to build that story. Because what makes Swamp Thing great is that his origin story at this point is like super convoluted, because, you know, if you take the whole kind of story arc, you know, yeah, he was Alec Holland, fell into the swamp after the chemical accident, but that's not really what happened to him, and he's not really Alec Holland anymore. He's just like a plant creature that has Alec Holland's memories, and then a layer on top of that, the whole idea of the Parliament of the Trees and the red and the rot and all this other stuff. Like, there's so many layers to the story that just keep building and building and building. You know, when you go from Len Wein's run to Alan Moore's run to, you know, is it Scott Snyder that started the New 52 run?
Yes.
Yes. So, like, you know, it keeps building on itself, and it would make a really cool TV show.
So you're talking something like Smallville, where you're leading up to who he is?
No, or, like, you know, it might start with the basics of his origin story, but they can keep, like, you know, those first few things that, you know, Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson did. It's very Monster of the Week, and you get like little snippets of like this outside, like, greater force, but you don't actually get to it until you're in that second volume where it's still kind of Monster of the Week. And then Alan Moore takes over, and like, you get this introduction, like this issue that literally explains, you know, Swamp Thing is no longer a person, like, in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
He's like a creature made completely of plants that just kind of happens to have Alec's memory printed upon it. And then he has to relearn everything to become the avatar of the green. And, like, you know, that's very easily like a season one into a season two, you know, and on.
I just don't know how that would look. That's my only fear. Because Swamp Thing is...
Watching shows like Supernatural and stuff like that, or even Constantine, that show looked great.
Yeah, but remember, Constantine, Supernatural, the main focus of those shows aren't... Like, you never really saw... Constantine is a dude. He didn't really change into anything. He just looked normal. Like, they had little things here and there that were like... Had to be CGI'd and all of that kind of stuff. But... The focus of Swamp Thing would be Swamp Thing all of the time.
Well, see, and that's why what John is saying makes me pretty excited, is an animated TV show about Swamp Thing would be perfect.
I like that. I like that idea. I think that would be better than, what do they call them, a live-action?
Live-action show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the reality is it would make a great TV show.
Right.
Like, the fact that it hasn't been done yet.
About, like, fucking the Swamp People reality TV show, you know, I think it could totally happen, you know?
You're pulling in the redneck crowd, too?
I am. Hell yeah.
But Swamp Thing's always beating up rednecks and stuff.
Them dang old swamp monsters out there, man. In the sunshine.
Oh,
it's like a fucking head with a hand on it, man. He's running around the swamp.
Oh, God, that's fucking funny.
It would be amazing if Swamp Thing had two redneck sidekicks. Like,
that would be amazing.
I don't, ain't never seen nothing like that. He grew wings and made a sword out of his arm and everything.
Man, it was crazy.
It was crazy. He was fighting that weird, like, demon-looking guy, and then there was, like, this guy turned into a lion.
I was just out here trying to hunt some alligators.
Then he turned into an alligator. And then the alligator guy was fighting the big swamp guy, and... Man, I saw this bass. They scared it the fuck away.
Trademark. Copyright.
That's right. Hashtag, we own that.
Hashtag, we own Swamp Thing's redneck sidekicks.
That's right.
Oh, and it's got to be... Or they just cast the dudes that play Tucker and Dale.
Yeah, true.
Oh, God.
They have feelings, too. I heard there's going to be a sequel to Tucker and Dale, and that makes me super happy.
Nice.
So, sad news.
Gabe is kicking John off the podcast.
Again?
Gonna just move right past
that. What did I do now?
Nothing. I'm gonna kick Juan off the podcast. All of a sudden, everything turns off.
And we're done.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt left Sandman.
Oh, yeah. I have that written down, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, that bums me out. And, like, the reason he left bums me out even more.
Didn't hear the reason.
The reason was creative differences. DC wants to make...
It wasn't DC proper. The article I wrote was that...
That you wrote?
That I read, I'm sorry.
I didn't know we were going there.
Was that the DC imprint, and I don't know if what, I can't remember what company it was. I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was like New Line or some other, like it wasn't DC. Like
it was
the
movie company.
They originally started it and they cast him and he was writing it and helping the director. And then a different DC imprint took it over. And that's where he was like, nah, we started seeing differences and I just didn't like where they wanted to go with the, you know, with a new outlook or something like that. And that was the issue.
Talking. What are you doing?
I'm eating vitamins.
You're eating?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm eating vitamins.
He's eating his vitamins?
He's eating his vitamins.
Dude, vitamins are delicious. You remember Flintstone vitamins?
I do. I never got them. My parents wouldn't buy them for me. They're like, that's just fucking sugar.
My parents wouldn't buy me
Flintstone. You're already fat. You don't eat more sugar, fatty fat.
fatty fat.
Oh, man. Please tell me your parents didn't call you fatty fat.
No, they didn't.
That's good, because that would be, like, heartbreaking
to me. I wonder
if
they listened. We still didn't narrow that down, did we?
I don't know.
they're going to be like, we do not call you fatty fat.
I'm going to get a call 2 months from now.
Jonathan, we did never call you fatty fat back when you were a child.
You're like, oh my God, you've heard everything I say. And this is the one you bring up.
Right.
We checked out that magic eight ball you talked about.
Posters.
Oh, fuck, that's funny.
My grandparents bought me Flintstone vitamins because my parents wouldn't buy them for me, and I had one. I was like, oh, that's amazing, and they just kept them on like the bathroom counter, and I seriously sat down like ate a whole bottle of
one time. Oh my God.
I did not shit for like 2 days because like, there's like iron in it or something, and oh my God, don't eat shitloads of Flintstone vitamins. That's the moral of this story.
Anyway, back to Sandman. Yabba-dabba-don't.
Hashtag yabba-dabba-don't.
Oh, shit.
Going to Twitter right now.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Sandman.
Enter Sandman.
Exit light. Enter night. Take my hand. We're off to never, never land. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, buddy, we could take this on the road.
Yabba dabba don't.
You say yabba dabba don't? That's right.
That was awesome. Oh, man.
Good job, buddy. He's trying to high five the computer.
Good job.
Okay, high five. Ready?
We're going to hear.
Yeah.
Somewhere between a genius and something else. Like all little kids.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm going to do something amazing, then shit my pants. Story of my life.
Even now.
Yeah. I didn't say story of my life as a child. I said story of my life.
I ran a 5K. Oops, I shit my pants.
I gotta go, gotta go, gotta go.
That's why I'm running so fast.
So, in the Justice League movie, some of the other breaking news is that J.K. Simmons is going to be Commissioner Gordon.
I saw that too.
That's pretty awesome.
So I saw this amazing meme that was J.K. Simmons as
J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson, and it said, moves to DC Cinematic Universe, pictures of Spider-Man pop up on the internet. Like, it was just awesome. Perfect. It was like, as soon as he moves to DC, there's Spider-Man.
Right. Son of a bitch.
I knew it. Parker. The other random rumor that I thought was ridiculous but would be awesome is Ice Cube as J. Jonah Jameson.
I didn't see that rumor.
I totally saw that rumor.
Nice.
That would be ridiculous.
I'm going to look it up again to make sure it's not like some kind of weird spoof.
Today was a good day.
Buddy, he doesn't talk like that.
I don't know what he talks like. You say it then. You be the fucking comedy on this show.
Well, I'm not very comedic.
I'm not very comedic.
Hey, asshole.
Hey-o.
Oh, never mind. It was just a rumor.
Never mind.
That got
it's going to be Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, so like one site was like Ice Cube rumored to
give
play
me that fucking picture.
Yeah, to play J. Jonah Jameson. And then another site was like, nope, that's not going to happen. But it would be amazing.
Well, Jonathan.
Yes.
Are you gonna, what time's the shop open?
11.
11. We have an interview here in the next couple of minutes.
Okay. That's cool, because I got to get down to the store anywho.
Cool.
Are we going to be able to call you back? Or
last time
disappear?
I tried to call you, and you just disappeared into fucking fat
it's
air.
Been, so the local paper did an article on us last week, and it has just been, it's been fucking insane, which is awesome. But at the same time, it's like, it's been insane. But I'm going to try. I'm absolutely going to try. I'm going to take my headphones and my laptop with me to the thing. And when you guys get done with your interview, just shoot me a text or give me a call.
Just tell your customers to talk to us.
Yes. Okay. We have a new hashtag that we'll have to talk about that we developed at the store because of a creepy comic that somebody brought in.
Okay.
Oh, what creepy comic? I want to know.
Faust.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah.
And we'll end with that.
Yes.
Or will we end with... Yeah, there we go.
I was like, I don't know if he's going to catch it.
Go, make a fart noise. He's just drooling all over himself.
I did something brilliant. Then I shit my pants.
Exactly.
Oh, awesome. Buddy. Well, we'll touch base with you here in a little bit.
Sounds good.
All right.
We'll see you guys.
Light.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mario Candelaria, writer of comics such as Ashes and Epilogue. And you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hey, Thinking Outside the Long Box listeners. This is Gabe from the podcast that you're listening to right now. I want to talk to you guys about the Sketchbook Shop at thesketchbookshop.com. They are currently helping our show by giving you a deal on awesome sketchbooks that range in price from $5 to $25. We have some of these here at the show. We've been using them for different stuff. They're super durable with great thick pages that you could do anything from take your class notes in to get sketches done at cons. Like, this is definitely some high quality stuff. So be sure to check them out at thesketchbookshop.com and use our secret password, Longbox, to get a discount. Thanks, guys.
That was...
Yeah, we're back!
Hey, everybody. I don't know what that was.
I think it was just another excuse for you to say, buddy.
No.
But...
This is a terrible movie.
Dude, it's like one of two Pauly Shore movies that don't make me want to cut my own eyes out.
No, there are no Pauly Shore movies that cut my eyes out.
Nah, that's not true.
Fucking horrible. Might be the worst actor.
Speaking of fucking horrible, terrified about the Beetlejuice 2 movie.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, what?
I have no good segue right now. Like, I said that, then I looked at my notes, I was like, no, I'm excited about both these things. Fuck.
Everything is so exciting on my list.
No, Beetlejuice 2 is confirmed that that's actually happening with Winona Ryder, Michael. How do you...
I'm excited. I like this Beetlejuice. This is what makes Beetlejuice for a long time.
This is what makes me excited. It's not a Beetlejuice reboot.
Right.
It's Beetlejuice 2.
Right.
That makes me really happy because I just want to see that world again, but I don't think they need to redo it. I want to see more of that.
Well, and Michael Keaton, I mean, why would you redo... If you're going to go with Michael Keaton, why would you redo it? Like, you know what I mean? That wouldn't make any sense. And the cool thing is you don't... He's not going to look older. Like, Beetlejuice already looked like crap when he was in the movie. And then you just repaint him. Like,
so you're saying
can't tell.
Michael Keaton looks like shit?
No, he just looks old.
I think that's what you said.
He looks like terrible shit.
He looks like he came out of my poop chute.
I like Beetlejuice. It's a stupid movie.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's good.
Dude. It's one of my all-time favorite. Like, there's a few of those, like, supernatural kind of comedies that came out in, like, the 80s that I love. And it's, like, it's Beetlejuice, you know, Ghostbusters, obviously, and Ghostbusters 2. I think Ghostbusters 2. And then also Saturday the 14th. Was super, super funny. It was kind of like the precursor to like a scary movie. You know, the weird Wayans brother like spoof on Scream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that, where it's this spoof movie, but it ended up actually being kind of creepy. And then House. You remember that movie?
I remember the show.
House is really, really funny. It's like about this haunted house and, you know, it's campy and it's silly, but intentionally.
Huh.
So it comes across kind of as that comedy horror movie. They just don't make enough of those. Like, right. Really funny. Like, Tucker and Dale versus like that. I felt like Cabin Fever, like, really walked that line.
I feel like that's an oxymoron. Can you make a horror movie?
Dude.
Or does it end up being like a fake horror comedy kind of mix.
Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, but that's not a, it's not a horror. I mean it has zombies in it, but that's more of a spoof than it is anything.
It's got gore and zombies and like there's some gross stuff.
But I'm saying,
but it's also super hilarious.
When
I think
of horror, I think of something that's like gonna like really scare me, creep me out. You know what I mean?
No,
whereas Shaun of the Dead is not. It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
I love, you know, like Ghostbusters is a comedy horror movie.
Okay.
Because it's a comedy, but it like is about ghosts.
But that's scary. It could be. There are moments where that are kind of freaky.
There are moments that it freaked me out as a kid. If Shaun of the Dead would have came out when I was a child, I would have loved it, but there would have definitely been moments that scared me.
Huh.
Like, you know, as a kid.
Right.
Not anymore. Now I'm just like,
you're scared still.
That's hilarious. You know, or, I mean, even something like Hot Fuzz is the same feel. Like, it's that, you know, kind of weird folk horror, like, town with a vicious cult, you know, ready to kill people at a whim.
Right.
Like, it's the same kind of thing where it's a horror movie, but it's comedy and it's funny. And that one has the layer of action movie. Shit's gonna get real.
So dumb.
Those movies are awesome.
Speaking of Ghostbusters, did you see the new trailer?
Yeah.
So I think the new trailer looks much better than the first trailer that came out.
And I think that movie looks rad. Like,
I think it looks so. I'm more excited now after I saw the second trailer than I was after the first trailer. Didn't interest me. I don't know why the second trailer did more, but it feels like a Ghostbusters movie.
A lot of the people that are poo-pooing on the trailer, I think I've seen a lot of people that hate on it because it's all women,
right?
And they don't like that change. That should be like of absolutely no importance if it has the same feel. And has the same, like, cool attitude as the original Ghostbusters, and it just happens to be... I'm super stoked.
Yeah,
I could care less, you know, what gender the actors are. I just... Ghostbusters movie.
My fear originally was that the women that they chose were too over the top. You know what I mean? Where Ghost, like we just said, Ghostbusters was a really good mix of being funny and being kind of scary,
yeah.
Creepy at the same time, where some of these women who they chose are very over the top comedic wise. And
dude,
that scared me at first. But the second trailer looks good.
Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray.
Bill Murray's always been like that.
Living together, mass hysteria. You can't tell me that Bill Murray's character isn't just as over the top as somebody that Kristen Wiig would play.
But Dan Aykroyd he's funny, but he's drier. He's more dry than he was.
But Dan Aykroyd?
They're funny.
Dude, have you seen anything else Dan Aykroyd's in? That, like, when Ghostbusters is your most quote-unquote understated character, that's really saying something. Like, I mean, come on. He was one of the Coneheads, for fuck's sake. Like... You know what I'm saying? Like, Dan Aykroyd is not known for his comedic restraint. He's known for conspiracy theories and fucking shitty vodka.
Oh, man.
All like, right. I'm just saying, like, oh, is John back on? Hello, John. Oh, God damn it, Juan.
Rant, though.
Making me sound like, I'm just saying, like... Dan Aykroyd is not known for his comedic restraint. So when you take the current Ghostbusters and like throw that, well, I mean, they, you know, Kristen Wiig, she plays way too over the top characters. That's silly. Like, fucking, it's Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. Fucking.
Those are two of the whole group, though.
Right. But
what do you think, John?
He's silence, dead silence. You have him turned
Hello?
Down.
Hello? Oh.
You have him
do
turned.
I have you, John? No, I don't have you turned down.
Hello, John? I hear like clicks. He must be plugging something in. Anyway, he'll come on later. Will this get edited out?
Maybe.
Boop.
What is going on? No, we can't hear you.
Isn't that what you are? I didn't see that comment. That's awesome.
John, I can't hear you, buddy. Tap twice if you can hear me.
It sounds like he can hear us.
I don't know.
Always something.
So you're being over the top is what we were talking about.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, Ghostbusters looks cool. I'm excited.
I think
it
looks good. That's my only fear was that at the time. That was it. But the second trailer to me looked good.
And the first one I thought looked pretty cool. No, it looked good. It looked like Ghostbusters.
Baby Ruth.
Yeah. I thought you would like that.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny.
Oh, it's going to be such a weird non sequitur in the show, too. You're just going, Baby Ruth. Ah! So it looks like Supergirl got renewed for a second season.
Yes,
so that's cool.
Everything just got renewed. Supergirl, yeah, like, Flash, Arrow, Gotham. Legends of Tomorrow. Everything just got renewed.
Yeah, we live in great times. So.
Yeah, it's weird because I didn't think that... I have not... Well, I only watched the first thing of Legends of Tomorrow, and I just haven't been able to catch up since
Oh, see,
then.
I've been doing better on that one than anything else. Legends of Tomorrow is... Between Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, it's like the show that the kids like the most. You know, they're the most into.
Right.
I think the team aspect of Legends of Tomorrow is really what drives that. I don't know.
And it'll be cool when, because the rumor is that they're going to switch casts thing going forward.
Right, to see what new heroes come into the show.
Right,
and
we'll see.
In the DCU, who would you like to see on TV? Like, it's got to be a second-tier hero, because it's not going to be like Batman or something like that. Who would you to see?
Well, I mean, you'd be talking Constantine would who I would... I mean, that would be who... That's the most obvious.
That's the natural one.
Right.
Like, I would love to see a storyline with Animal. Like,
right.
I think that would be really, really cool on TV. Or Swamp Thing, obviously.
If the Tick can get a TV show, anybody can get a TV show at this point.
They did just put a pilot out for Amazon.
Patrick Warburton... he's funny, but I don't think he's the greatest actor in the world. And I don't know if that's like his shtick, because that's how he acts in everything. In Seinfeld, he was like, he was dumbed down. He only said a few things, like, but he was fucking hilarious in some of it, you know. But I don't know. I think that's kind of how he plays things.
Did you not like the show in the 90s, the Tick show in the 90s?
I never watched it.
Fucking hilarious. Like, it was probably one of the funnier things that Comedy Central did when it comes to, like, kind of, you know, like, actual live-action sitcom-y stuff.
Okay.
That show was amazing. I love The Tick. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man. What else?
Are we still trying to get John, or what's going on?
Yeah, I think so. This time it's not my
computer. That's good. You did get a new computer, so.
I'm still playing. It's touchscreen. Pretty crazy.
Oh, that's weird. That would bug me. Because I would go to point at something and then, like, touch it and, like, open something and be like, ah, son of a bitch.
Oh, porn.
Maybe you have that problem.
You're trying to touch the girls on the Anyway, what else you got?
Nothing for news.
I'm excited for this, and you're not going to be, but I'm excited. Bad Boys 3 comes out June 2nd of 2017. Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. And I think it's going to be awesome.
Martin Lawrence.
What did I say? Eddie Murphy? Will Smith. Yeah. Will Smith.
I would say that there's a mild level of interest in that. Like, I like the Bad Boys movies, okay? They're funny. There's stuff that blows up.
So they greenlit 3 and 4, but they gave 3 a release date of next year.
Right.
So it's good because they're both going to come back, and that's what's going to make them.
They also greenlit, like, Fast and the Furious, like, 6 through 9 or something like that. They're going to literally be making those movies until, like, 2075.
They still make a ton of money.
I just don't get it. Like, I like the first, what? Which one's Tokyo Drift? Is that the
second one? No, the third one.
That's the third one.
The third one.
I love...
In canon, it's the... I think it's the fifth one.
What? What do you mean? Like, where it takes place, like, in the plot line?
Yes.
Or? Oh, okay.
So first, second... But you haven't caught up on the Fast and the Time.
No.
So they've obviously, that movie came out a long, long time ago. But one of the guys who dies in that movie, to make it fit, because it wasn't going to be canon at all, to make it fit into the story... in the right before Jason Statham appeared in the Fast and the Furious, I think it's in between 5 and 6. At the end of 5, they show the scene from the Tokyo. The dude dies, and that Jason Statham who killed him, and he's the one who's been friends with the Asian fella, these guys in other Fast and the Furious movies. That's how it fit in between 5. I think it's 5 and 6, and then that's how Jason Statham becomes the bad guy. I think in 6. So it's kind of a weird thing. It's placed differently than it is in the actual run of the movies.
That's weird. Like, I remember watching the first one, the second one, then Tokyo Drift and enjoying it. And then I think, like, I watched, like, part of the fourth one, like, the beginning of the fourth one at a friend's house and just totally lost interest. Like, it's like, yeah, these were cool, I guess.
I think they're cool still.
I mean, It is what it is. They're action movies.
Blowing shit up.
Like, they're action movies. It's stuff blown up. I mean, in general, I like that stuff. But I like... I think I get burned out on a series usually after, like, about its third or fourth, where I'm just like, I'd rather see something new than the same.
Right.
Or, like, a bigger version of the same. Like, perfect example is the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, there's a new one of those coming out,
too. I loved the first one. The second one was good. The third one was just kind of, eh. And the fourth one, I have, like, zero excitement. We got him? John. There's a noise. Oh.
Hey, yeah, but now I can hear myself, too, now.
Robot.
Let me plug my headphones in. Hang on.
Okay. Robodies.
Robot voice. Bleep, blop, bleep, bloop, bloop.
Okay, assholes, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Why are we the assholes?
I don't know.
It's your fault this time.
Yeah, I think it was your fault this time.
It wasn't.
It was two.
It was not.
Two. So you came on in the middle of Gabe talking about Ghostbusters. Have you seen any of the trailers yet?
Yes, I watched the trailer for the new movie. Didn't we talk about this last time?
Well, the second trailer just came out, I think, yesterday.
Oh, I have not seen that then.
Oh, okay.
It looks cool. Like, yeah. I for one, am super excited. I love Ghostbusters. I love that mythology. Like, I want to see it. So
Thor was in this one a little bit more.
Gotcha.
He was drawing a new Ghostbusters logo. And
a new or a nude Ghostbusters logo?
Well, okay.
I'm down with both of those things.
He was drawing a new Ghostbusters logo in the trailer, and he put giant tits on it. I don't remember if they said, like, that's kind of weird or whatever they said, and he's like, I don't know if he says tits, or he says, are the boobs not big enough? And he was going to draw him bigger boobs on it.
That's awesome.
So if a ghost is like an invisible being with a sheet over it, would a naked Ghostbusters logo just be like the don't symbol?
Right, exactly.
It's
awesome.
It's a sexy ghost. It doesn't have any clothes on. It's like, that's just a don't symbol, you lazy bastard.
That's awesome.
I'm out of news, so.
Well, we just talked about Bad Boys, John. I don't know if you care about that.
I don't.
Next.
Next.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Don't stop that. Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba.
Yes.
Dark Tower.
Yes, that's exciting. That's fucking actually cool. Not Bad Boys 3.
And John doesn't
know
care.
Anything about that.
Man, so
what is Dark Tower?
Oh, I know what that is, dickhole.
What are books?
As he's hanging up, comic.
I know. Fuck you guys.
My job is books, you pieces of shit.
Exactly right. Hanging up now.
I couldn't hear you anyway.
Fuck you guys. Hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
What?
No, that's really cool. I love the casting of the gunslinger. It's not what I think anybody would have expected, and I think that's pretty cool. So
Matthew McConaughey is quite the choice for that movie.
For Flag, too.
Just in general, like, yeah.
He's the villain of the movie.
Right.
Like, I think that'll be pretty cool.
Has he ever played a villain?
Are we going to do this again?
What are we doing?
The whole, has he ever been a villain?
Go ahead, John.
Has he ever been a villain?
Juan.
No, I don't know. It's all right.
Stop. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, wouldn't he be a villain in that? I mean, the...
Okay,
burnout loser that fucking shows up at high school for the high school chicks because that's gross. Like,
you do that now?
No, I do not. I drive past college chicks. That's totally different.
Okay.
Oh, I just made myself sound like a total fucking sleazeball right there.
Pedophile.
Hey, they're in college.
Oh, so that's it's not legal then?
It's not pedophilia. It's just creepy. It's different. It's not illegal. It's just weird.
Creepophilia. We're getting another call here.
From who?
Oh, hello? What the heck happened?
Who's this?
Who's this?
This is Albie.
Jesus, Albie.
I think I put John on hold. Oh, God, what happened?
We were trying to test something out, and now Albie's here.
Is it working or not?
Why'd you?
I'm walking around Disney World, and stormtroopers are following me.
Oh.
I think it's a trap.
It's a trap.
Somebody put me on hold. Which asshole put me on hold?
Who is this?
It's all of us. This is fucking devolved into pure bedlam.
Who's in Disneyland?
Albie is.
I'm at Disney World. I'm trying to get the video phone to work.
I'm in Disney World, and stormtroopers are following him.
Stormtroopers everywhere, and they're armed. I had to go through a metal detector. I don't know why
they have arms. That would be weird. What handicapped stormtrooper? I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
No female stormtroopers.
How do you know?
That's true. Yeah. They could just be athletic.
Ask them to take their stormtrooper outfit off.
Well, I would anyway.
Just to see. I'm just curious.
Is that them talking?
Yeah, hold on.
So this is Gabe.
Hello, sir. They went that way.
They went that way.
Are you talking to the stormtroopers now?
That's really cool.
You've got to address them by their call sign, which should be TK421. Why aren't you at your post?
Oh, my God. Go do that to a stormtrooper real quick, Albie.
Say that again.
TK421, why aren't you at your post?
CK421, why aren't you at your post?
TK.
Jesus.
TK.
Theo?
Theo.
Okay. They walked by me. They didn't arrest me, so I'm good.
I heard somebody's getting rewarded. And that's.
So is your Skype working?
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks, Albie.
I'm going to go. Bye.
Bye.
That was.
What the fuck just
guest happened? Starring Albie. That was for later when you, in post, put that at the introduction.
Did we lose John all of a sudden?
I'm still here.
No, he's still there. I can hear him.
That was really weird, but
that
cool.
That was hilarious. Hey, people can randomly call us.
I like
that
it.
That reminds me.
I like
okay.
it.
Juan, look up our phone number real quick. Because I'm looking up the other half of this equation, so fuck
I'm
yourself.
Looking up nothing, so take that.
Yeah, you're looking up my dress. I don't know what that laugh was. Sorry.
I don't understand what's going on right now.
All right, so.
Oh, am I looking up our phone number?
Yes, our phone number for the show, you fucking.
I told you that 5 minutes ago.
5 minutes seems like an exaggeration, but yeah.
It
yeah.
is,
yeah,
Gabe.
You asked.
You're right. It is.
Oh,
so,
okay. It's 97. Oh,
wait.
Yeah, okay.
Wait. All right, so.
Stop yelling at me.
On Colorado Comic Book Enthusiasts, I made a post.
oh, shit.
Nate, who doesn't listen, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
We were. Yeah, thank you, John. We were at work, and he came up with, like, this funny idea. You know, with baseball season upon us, you know, what would...
What season?
Baseball. It's been bitty bitty to me. sorry. That was for my dad. That joke right there was literally for my dad. It'll be the only part of the show he ever listens to. So... With baseball season upon us and, like, you know, Juan's persistent love of wrestling, we were talking about what would the intro music be for superheroes? Like, what would their walkout music be, or, like, what would their wrestling superhero music be? So, like, for me, it was, like, Kazar would be Welcome to the Jungle, okay? Or, like, Batman for me would be Back in Black, all right? Some of the other really good ones that got posted on CCB, Storm... Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli. John's talking to somebody else.
Bye, Carissa.
Or like...
Bye.
Dazzler.
Don't fart.
Dancing Queen by ABBA.
I'm going to plug it in for you so we charge it.
No, I'm taking it with me to update it.
Okay.
They're fighting.
Let's
hug
in a kiss. Oh. I hate when mommy and daddy fight.
Round one.
Fight.
Finish her.
They're fucking ignoring us.
Have a good night.
I don't think she can hear us.
Anyways, so with that said...
See you later.
That was kind of creepy sounding.
Hey, sweet cheeks. See you later.
Shut your mouth.
Were you even listening to anything Gabe was talking about?
No, my wife and kid are trying to leave and say bye, and he wants a hug and a kiss, so I had to give him a hug and a kiss. Jesus Christ.
Why are you so upset?
Why are you yelling? I just wanted to know because I needed to know if Gabe would needed to reiterate what he's talking about.
Oh, I know what's going on. The walkout music and la la la, Back in Black, and Welcome to the Jungle.
So angry. Anyway.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so what we would love for you to do is to give us a call at our phone number, which Juan has not looked up yet.
970. 573-6148.
And leave us a message telling us, you know, a superhero and what their walkout music would be. You know, like what would, or like Aquaman, somebody suggested maybe the theme song from Flipper would be good walkout music for him.
Fuck that person that said that. Fuck you guys.
What would other good walkout music be? Like maybe Yellow Submarine?
Nope.
Maybe
Yellow Submarine.
It's just anything by Aqua. He's a Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
So angry.
He's pissed at us now. It's awesome. But yeah, give us a call. We'd love to hear what your superhero walkout music would be. That would be really fun.
John, you should write our phone number on your wall.
On the and then wall, put the four
good time. Yeah, on the black. What other wall are you going to write it on?
That's why I was. I'm not just going to write it on the fucking wall, you weirdo.
You should write for a good time and then just write the phone number down.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great idea. What's the phone number? Tell me again.
It's 9.
And tell our listeners again, not just me.
Our phone number is
970-573-6148.
But for reals, like, call us with your walkout music or your, you know, whatever theme music for superheroes.
Just to reiterate, 970-573-6148.
I believe so. I got to bring it up again. I pulled
Jesus.
It off.
Jesus Christ.
970-573-6148.
Yes.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You got it.
All right.
And then you too can help Jerry's kids. What are you doing?
What the shit is that?
This is Albie at Disneyland. He just sent me a video.
Oh.
He's looking at stormtroopers.
So, how about you, John? Did you have any news bits that were...
No, I don't think so.
Buddy, you know this whole show is predicated on stuff like that, right?
On news bits?
Not on your bits.
Dick bits?
Naughty bits?
Naughty bits.
So tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about this hashtag.
Oh, hashtag, what was it? Butt snakes.
Butt snakes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I gotta. This isn't going to come across well because you have to see to believe.
You got snakes in your ass.
There's a so I had a guy that came in the store and he asked if we bought comics. Of course we buy comics. He brings his comics in and it's the weirdest fucking mix of comics I have ever seen before. Like he's got probably 15 issues of Aquaman from the 90s. He's got
that is weird.
A chunk dude. I'm gonna punch you directly in your taint next time I see you. Just so you know. So you got that coming for you, which is nice.
He's a 90s Aquaman.
90s Aquaman, some 80s and 90s Doctor Strange, a bunch of Cerebrus. Yeah. I can't say that.
The weird little like
dark bark thing.
Yeah.
And then he's also got like these super weird. So he's got a whole chunk of Faust comics. Dude. And he's got like triple X Xenophile and all these like weird porno comics. Like
porno comics,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the cover to, and I'm looking it up right now. Actually, I can just open the box and take a look because I have it here still because it's creeping me out. Hang on. Hold on.
Some model just asked us to be her friend.
Yeah, we get that a lot. They're not models. They're like cam girls, and they don't actually want to be your friend. They want you to talk with them on Skype with their boobies for money. I followed up a couple times, just saying.
I had to put my toe in the water.
Hey, I like boobs. Who doesn't? I mean, most chicks say they like boobs, too. Boobs are pretty much universally loved.
Looking at this cover right here. Where's it at? All right. I'm going to take a picture. I don't think I can post it to Instagram. I think they will probably kick me off.
What issue is it?
It is issue number 5.
Of Faust?
Of Faust.
What is Faust? Because Faust, I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Faust is from it's from like the late 80s, early 90s. And it is about, it's almost the exact same story as Spawn, where it's like a dude that's like kind of sold his soul to the devil so that he can, you know, live eternally and be like just this kind of vigilante of justice.
Right.
Except for it's done with like full like pornographic sex and like way, way over the top bloody violence.
Okay.
Like if you think of like a book like Crossed, do you know what I'm talking about?
I think you've talked about it before.
Like or any of those kind of like Avatar books.
Right.
It is very much the precursor to like that kind of Avatar stuff where it's just like way over the top sex and violence for the sake of sex and violence.
I'm going to show you a picture. I'm going to send it to you via Skype so that you guys can see it and then we can discuss. There you go. How's it going, man?
I meant to ask you last night when I was here. Do you have protectors for like magazine?
Not a ton of them.
Yeah, John, do you have magazine bags and boards?
I also have
God
the
damn
older
it.
Comics that be wider.
Yeah.
Some are eight.
Seriously? There's orange juice everywhere! This girl's ass. I wonder if I could put this on.
Shot. Oh, you know what? Can you, like, save that and send it Facebook Messenger?
I don't even know where
it is. Just save it. I'd say right click, but I wouldn't know how to write. No, if you send it to me as a message, I can edit it. Man, now I have Barbie.
So, do we want to just keep going?
Well, he wanted to talk about
it. Come back to it.
Okay. So, I'm going to start moving on to my on the
no,
show.
No, don't do that. Peter Capaldi.
Fuck you, Warren.
Peter Capaldi. We all know Stephen Moffat's gone. He was asked to stay, but he says that he hasn't made a decision since he... So... We might
Stephen
be in
Moffat.
A, isn't that what I said?
You said Peter Capaldi.
Oh, well, that's not. So we might be in a weird spot where this new doctor's only. How long has he been here? For like 2 years, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, not super long. I don't know.
It's weird. Like the. It's just going to be a weird transition into a new doctor if that's kind of what has to happen.
It would be a fast transition, but they did the same thing with Eccleston.
Yeah,
so.
But he got kind of strong-armed into...
This is true. I mean, but what are you going to do about it? Like, if somebody's going to lead a show and that's going to cause creatives with, like, literally lead actor, then of course they're going to have to change,
right.
You know, who's doing what. So, I don't know. It's kind of one of those six of one, half a dozen of the other. Like, every time there's a new doctor, everybody's like, I don't know if I'm going to like this doctor.
Right.
And then he ends up being really cool. Because
I think he's just coming into, like, this last season is really good. It was better than the whole first season he was on. And now to, you know, have to be like, well, maybe he's going to leave. It just sucks because you get attached to, or you try to get attached to these people, and you want them to be around for a while, you know, at least a few seasons. And it ends up being, you know, that ends up being a device. The numbering system and the doctors and all that ends up being a kind of a weird device if you start using it too often.
Yeah, I can see how that would be. I mean, totally true. Like, you want the people to get attached to it, but if you change it too horribly often.
Right.
I mean, like you said, it's going to just thing. I don't know. Like, it's... Like I said, it's one of those that's kind of six of one, half a dozen.
In other news...
Trying to edit the...
Tom Hiddleston... Says he that he would want to play 007.
I could see that.
That would be quite the weird 007.
I feel like I would rather see Idris Elba do it still.
Me too.
Like, I like Tom Hiddleston. I think he's a really good, you know, I think he's a really good actor. I think he would be maybe a little too subdued for like
a
James
Bond.
I feel
like he'd be a little too small.
Physically?
Like physically.
Like skinny?
Yeah, because in the new age... Well, I know. What's his name? Pierce Brosnan wasn't all that big, I guess.
Yeah,
he wasn't
I don't think so.
Muscular. I guess I'm just used to Daniel Craig being like an action hero guy. You mean like he's big. I mean, he's muscular, and he just seems very overpowering. Like he seems like a very powerful character, as opposed to some of the 007s in the past have been more cunning and they've been smarter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. He would definitely have to be a different take on
right.
007. He would have to be a less physical and a more intellectual 007, I think. But I don't know.
It's weird. It's a weird, it's a weird
think,
choice to
I
try
still
and
feel
see.
Like I would rather see Idris Elba do it. And the reality is, don't you think that every like British male leading man has said at one point or another, I would love to be James Bond?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, because of course they do. Like, that's
I would love to be James
the British
Bond.
Your British accent one.
No, I don't do accent very well.
Just Juan's British accent is, hello, I'm James Bond. All right.
Oh, man.
Oh, I got the butt snakes picture up, and John's going to hate it, and it's going to be awesome.
And I got more news. So. You'll see it.
You'll see it. You're going to see it way before you hear this episode, too. This is the best part.
So, I have Iron Fist news.
Yes.
And in my notes, I wrote Iron Fish for some reason.
It's a totally different character. But
there was an article about who may be appearing in the series that he's going to have. And Shang-Chi was one of them.
Sweet.
And I know nothing about these characters, so you'll have to tell me. Steel Serpent.
Sweet.
Colleen Wing. Joy Meacham. And Ward Meacham.
Nice.
I don't know anything about these people. I know a little bit about Shang-Chi.
They're all characters that are kind of from that, like, kung fu, like, subgenre of Marvel Comics that were coming out in, like, the Bronze Age. So, Hands of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Right.
Iron Fist, Power Man and Iron Fist, Heroes for Hire kind of stuff.
Right.
So, like, they're all just characters from, like, that world, and that'll be really cool. Because what it hopefully will turn into is effectively Marvel's, like, kung fu action show. Like, and you see, you know, you catch glimpses of that a little bit with the first season of Daredevil. And it'll be awesome to see not so much, like, the kind of, like, street fighting MMA style of, like, fighting that
right.
you see in Daredevil.
Right.
I'm hoping that we get to see some, like, straight up, like, Shaw Brothers, like, kung fu action, like China 5 kung fu.
Like Matrix.
No, not like that. A little bit like that,
though. A little bit like that. They had like a lot of kung fu in there.
That scene where he does the load up and he fights Morpheus.
Yeah,
like
buddy.
That. Yeah.
When he fights Agent Smith,
some of that is very stylized kung kinda, fu stuff.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, I saw the trailer for the Netflix original film, which is the sequel. It's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, that looks
so good.
There
was a lot of controversy with that.
Why is that?
Because, so Netflix is the creator of this sequel, I think.
Right.
I think they're the one who budgeted it and they did all of it. And they said they were going to put it out in theaters because the first one made a ton of money.
A bajillion dollars.
It made a lot of money.
It's like one of those rare, like, crossover foreign
right.
film hits. Yeah.
So they were going to put it in the theaters, and the theaters were like, okay, we'll put it out, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Netflix came out and said, you're going to put it in the theaters, and we're going to put it on Netflix the same day it comes out in the theaters. And the theaters were like, well, why the fuck would we pay you to put it in the theater then when people are just going to stay home and watch it? That makes no sense. So the theater said, fuck you. We're not going to put it in the theater anymore.
And Netflix said,
and
we'll probably still make a gajillion dollars off of this, so
and
fuck off.
And we'll see. I mean, that's the thing with Netflix is I don't know how they make their money on big projects like this. I mean, I understand it equal, you know,
more
subscriptions and
yeah.
things like that. But more people, you know, like I use, I think you can use other people that they're
yeah.
okay with. So we use a friend of ours, and on things like that, we'll just sit here and watch. That doesn't make me want to buy my own subscription. You know what I mean? Like,
the thing with Netflix is you can have three people using it like at one time.
Right.
So, like, if I'm using it upstairs and, like, one of the kids is on the Kindle and one of the kids is downstairs, and then we have somebody that's borrowing it like you, then they're locked out. You
right.
know, they can't do it. Or, you know, if one of the kids is on the Kindle, one of the kids is downstairs, and somebody that's borrowing it is using it, then I'm locked out.
Right.
So, you know, there is that, like, load point where you get, you know, too many people on one account and eventually you have somebody that's – you know, locked out, and so they're buying their own subscription.
Right.
I feel like since there's limitations on how much you can share the account, that there's definitely times when you can, you know, see somebody that's like borrowing, that's
right.
like, shit, I just want to watch this.
Right.
You know, it's only $8 a month kind of thing.
I agree with that, but what I'm saying is I think that if you were to put it out in the theater and then have it on Netflix later, I think you'd make more money because you'd have those people, the only way they can see it is in the theater. You mean you have more people coming to you to pay money, whereas if you just put it on Netflix, you've already got people who already have Netflix, and then you're counting on a ton more people subscribing, which may be the case.
Which
I don't know.
May very well happen because there's a ton of, I mean, there's a ton of people that love Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, even though I was in the theater and I had
a long
the
time
experience
ago.
When the dude sitting behind me goes, "Oh, God damn it, this is one of them reader movies." It's like, ah, yes, of course it's a reader movie. Came from fucking China.
Unless you can understand Chinese. I mean, who knows?
I cannot, so I had to read it. But, I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, I didn't know the controversy behind it and the theater thing. I just want to see it.
Right.
That's all I care about. So, and I have Netflix. And honestly, if I didn't have Netflix, I would probably sign up for Netflix to watch it. Mm. So I know several people that, like, have signed up for Netflix just because of Daredevil, just because of Jessica Jones, you know, just because of the documentary series. Well, yeah, or Trailer Park Boys. No, I know a guy that signed up for Trailer Park Boys. I know a guy that signed up just to watch Making a Murderer, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, so many people were talking about it.
That's a whole big
thing right now. It created so much buzz
right.
that people, like, actively pursued getting Netflix accounts to watch it. Like, right now I'm watching their new documentary series called Cook with Michael Pollan that's, like, just all about cooking and stuff. And I was telling one of my friends that doesn't have Netflix about it. He's like, oh, that's pretty cool. How Netflix cost? Like,
what's this dang on Netflix?
You know, it's weird. Like, it's become such – because it's the – you know, Netflix and Hulu are the way I watch TV. It's weird to me when I encounter people that don't – they're like, oh, how does that work? Like, I pay
that,
for it.
That's weird it. Because they must be, like, older people
usually,
or people who
but,
don't watch any kind of TV. You know what I mean?
Or just not that much TV.
Right.
Or they just watch – like, I've noticed a lot of the people that are like that are people that just watch sports.
Right.
Like, that's their thing. And then you tell them, oh, I was watching such and such on Netflix. They're like, oh, that sounds interesting. How's that work? And you're like, what do you mean?
Weird.
How's that work? It's been around for like a decade.
I don't have Netflix or Hulu, but I know what both of them are. It's weird that you wouldn't, but you know.
People are different.
Yeah, stupid.
I work. They're not stupid. They're just different.
No, people are stupid.
That's true. But I don't think knowing how Netflix works is really a good matrix for determining if somebody's stupid or not. Like maybe like, are you physically capable of tying your shoes is maybe a little bit better matrix for are you stupid or not stupid.
Oh, man. I don't even tie my shoes.
Point made.
Oh, man.
Ding.
I don't have any other news. I mean, you posted on our website there's a release date for Luke Cage.
Oh,
for his show, September 30th. I didn't think it was going to come so late in the year, but I'm excited for it. And we got, I don't know if we have any comments. No comments, but 18 people liked that.
There was a couple things they got. I posted the butt snakes picture, which is already getting likes, which is fucking hilarious. I did post a picture of Kevin Smith.
Yes, I was just looking at that.
Wearing the Jay Garrick helmet. And, you know, my almost immediate thought was, is this a hint of what his episode might be about?
Right.
Is this the episode where Jay Garrick gets his speed back?
Did you finally catch up?
I'm not caught up,
oh,
of course
buddy,
not.
Buddy, come on.
Dude.
Stop.
I'm going to say this on air, what I told you off air. I literally have twice as many children as you and a job where I actually have to work. Oh, fuck yourself.
I don't have to actually work.
Yes, I'm aware.
Marika got her shirt finally.
Yes.
Yes.
Looks awesome.
It looks good. She looks good in
it. She saw the back of it. She laughed.
Did she? So,
she like giggled and it was pretty cool.
Good.
She wore her non-compliant tights and her shirt. So we basically conned Kelly Sue DeConnick into liking a picture of our t-shirt. She's like, tag Bitch Planet and non-compliant in it. And Kelly Sue DeConnick will like it because she's liked everything that I've posted that way. I'm like, awesome.
Done and done.
Right. Another thing that I posted to the page is that Franco Francavilla posted a picture of Zombie Jughead with the date June 1st will be back. So it looks like Afterlife with Archie is coming back, which makes me super, super happy.
I love that fucking comic book.
Yes, it is one of the better comic books out there, like ever. I would say ever.
Here, we're going to backtrack a little bit. Here, the Sandman thing, we were talking about it earlier. I wanted to read what Matt wrote as a comment.
Okay.
So he wrote, and there goes our last hope of seeing a Sandman film that truly represents the character. Now they're going to try to turn him into an action character. I'm afraid he's going to lose his cerebralness. His power is not explicit, it's implicit. His words and the way he approaches the universe set him apart from this. So I don't know anything about Sandman, really. But what does that mean when Matt says that?
So Sandman's power is in dreams. Like, okay. You know, he has the ability to manipulate dreams and like that sort of thing. So it's like this mystical, like, I mean, he's Morpheus, he's the Sandman, he's effectively like the god of dreaming. So his quote unquote superpowers are not like, you know, the ability to punch somebody through a wall or fly through the air and stuff. It's very like mystical. It's very dreamy. Like it's Neil Gaiman's brand of fantasy, you know, where the power is in things that are implicit instead of explicit. Like, you know, it's kind of like the show Lucifer, where he can like just tell you what do you want the most and you tell him, you know. And it's difficult to pull that off, I think, as like a superhero movie. Like, I'm with Matt, like I'm really afraid that it's just going to be kind of like the dumbed down action movie, just like Keanu Reeves' Constantine. It's a good movie, but it's not really Constantine.
Right.
Like, it's not John Constantine.
So when Sandman's in your dreams, manipulating your dreams, what does that do? Like, how does that affect you? You know what I mean? Why would he be doing?
Usually it's more of helping people, like, find out something important about themselves.
Okay.
Like, it's not, you know, a lot of the times the stories that he's telling are, like, big thematically, but small action-wise, you know, like dealing with, you know, feelings and emotions and, you know, getting through that as opposed to dealing with something that's like so, you know, it's about to destroy the whole earth and we need to stop it.
Right.
You know, it's just a significantly more cerebral book. It's like the difference between like Watchmen and Superman, or the difference between.
No, I know that. I'm just curious, like you said, like why? What's the goal of what he's trying to do in your head? You know what I mean? I don't know if he can kill you in your dream or
he can,
you know what
but
I mean?
That's not ever his goal.
Okay.
Like he's trying to like. So he's in charge of the dream time, and there's always things that are like affecting dream time and like trying to like invade it or trying to like, you know, affect it in like a negative way. And he's kind of like the protector of that.
Okay.
But like the way that that's expressed is very different than like anything else has ever been expressed.
Right.
Like it's like it, like Matt says, it's a very cerebral comic book. It's a thinker, not a looker. Like it's always like really stunning.
Nice.
So.
Okay. Okay.
More Facebook comments. Let's go back a little bit to the J.K. Simmons joins Justice League as commissioner. Man, I'm going to pronounce this name. Kalu Eka, K-A-L-U-E-H.
You pronounced even how to spell it.
Yeah. I was just looking at the letters all weird. I don't know. I'm an idiot. But you can say no one can say he doesn't have the acting chops. Plus, in a couple of roles, he's played characters that had parallel, totally true. Like J.K. Simmons, I think, nail Gordon.
I think he can do, like in universe and comic universe, you know, you obviously know him as the top fuzzy boss.
Yeah.
But he's a good actor. Like the guy, he's a really good actor. So I think he'll nail it. I think he'll do just fine.
Sean McMillan, I think he'll be fine in this role. All the weight is on writers, this casting.
Right.
Absolutely. Like if you put it in front of him, he can do it. You know, he's that kind of actor. My friend Ismail, he says, ugh, he should have stayed with Spidey, but this is bigger for him for sure. So, like, good career move, but I like Spider-Man better. That seems like...
How dare you?
That seems like a weird move, especially with how many times they've, like, recast Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't they recast J. Jonah? Like, you know, so it's not like he's going to move into the, you know, Marvel Universe proper when they're not using the same cast for the Marvel Universe proper for Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, that's just not going to happen. And then, of course, Zach Bennick. Well, we get pieces of Spider-Man.
No.
Later. No.
Never.
Later that day in the Civil War trailer. any other?
I don't have any other news.
I don't have any other news either. You want to take a quick break and come back and
sure.
Do some on-the-shelf stuff?
Sure.
Sweet.
Sure.
In the words of Jonathan Garnett.
Hey, everybody. This is Wes Locher, writer of the comic book Unit 44, and you're listening to the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Adrian, and I've got a confession for you. I have issues. No, seriously, that's actually the name of my podcast, Adrian Has Issues. Each week, I sit down and geek out with some pretty awesome people, including comic book writers, artists, publishers, comedians, and more. But the fun doesn't stop there. You can also hear circus performers, Freemasons, librarians. Hell, I'll even chat with that weird neighbor of yours that sits across the street and stares at you as you enter and leave your house. You know the one I'm talking about. Visit AdrianHasIssues.com. And feel free to check me out on both iTunes and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, leave a review. I'll now return you to your regularly scheduled podcast, already in progress.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. On the line, we have Tim Morgan, author of The Trip, which is a novel and an animated movie and about to be an audiobook. Tim, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, of course. So tell us a little bit, like you sent over a bunch of projects that you're working on.
Sure.
It looks like you're, you know, a fairly prolific author. You're like, you're a guy that is throwing a lot of different things out there, you know, a cyberpunk detective novel, like a, you know, masked killer, like, you know, giallo / slasher kind of story. Like, you know, what is it that kind of has inspired you to start throwing yourself out to the wolves of the internet with your writing?
Well, back in 2008, I wrote my novel, The Trip. Basically, it was a story about three high school seniors who set out between the summer of their senior year and freshman year of college on a cross-country bicycle trip. Halfway across the country, there's a zombie virus outbreak, and they have to make it home through infected territory. After I wrote that, I spent about a year trying to market it. Didn't get anywhere, so I independently published in 2012, and basically I've gone full bore indie ever since. You know, so I write, make short films, and I'm starting to branch out into animation now.
So there's a lot of, like, you know, really cool audiobooks. I run out of time in my life. You know, I have stacks and stacks of comic books to read. I love to read, like, regular books, you know, and I find myself, like, slacking when it comes to, like, listening to new audiobooks or, like, listening to podcasts and stuff like that, because my brain can't process, like, two things at once most of the time, and that's about what I'd need to do, is, like, read a book while listening to, like, a podcast or an audiobook. I used to be one of Scott Sigler's junkies, you know, and I've listened to Bill DeSmet's Singularity, and I used to listen to, like, Escape Pod and Pseudopod, like, all the time. As you're developing this audiobook for The Trip, you know, what level of acting out do you feel like, you know, is appropriate, you know, in your audiobook? Like, are you going to make voices for the characters? Like, you know, like Scott Sigler does the voices and he has, like, some occasional sound effects. But, like, in Bill DeSmet's Singularity, he literally is just, like, kind of reading the book and narrating it, you know, with very minimal kind of characterization. Like what level are you doing worse?
What I decided to do was, when I wrote the novel, it unfolds through a combination of blog posts by the main character, news broadcasts, and traditional narrative. And what I did was I brought in three separate, very talented narrators for each part. The first is Felicia Flanagan is playing the blogger, who she's also coming back to play Megan in the animated motion picture. Local artist and pillar of the artistic community, Sophia Cassiola, is playing the newscaster. And the very talented Kimberly Miller reads the traditional narrative. So between those three, they're all really talented, and they all bring a very, very distinctive voice and style to each segment of the audiobook.
It's cool. Like, that's a cool concept to kind of, like, you know, use the different narrators from parts. Like, most of the audiobooks and, like, you know, story podcasts I've listened to, there's always only that one voice. And then, like, you know, for the guy that talks, like, you know, so.
Yeah, there are segments where Kimberly is narrating from a male point of view, but she does a really good job pulling that off. You know, each character has a very distinctive voice, and they really capture the essence of it. And there are times when, you know, I'm listening to Sophia read the newscasts, and it's like, I wrote this, and I'm feeling like chills because it's like, it sounds like something you would hear on NPR. I mean, she really, really nails it.
Every time I think about NPR, all I can think of is the Sweaty Balls skit on Saturday Night Live. Sorry. that's what that giggle was for. Not for your cold chills. It was for these are good sweaty balls. you know, what going, you know, kind of going back a little bit, you decided to make an animated film too. Is it just is it a function of trying to drive more people to buy the book proper, or is it just a way of diversifying like the same story to get different markets? Like, you know, how is it that you see like the audiobook and the animated film and the actual novel kind of working together?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, the audiobook and the novel are kind of hand in hand. I'd see them trying to drive sales for each of those two mediums. And I see the animated movie is going in a little bit of a different direction, because in a film you can't, there's a lot of stuff in the novel you have to change, you know, because I can really get into people's heads when I'm writing a novel, but you've got to translate that to visuals in a film. And, you know, really thinking about it, I wanted to do a movie, and I've always been interested in animation, and I've really, you know, I really thought this would make a good first feature as an animated film, because I think it would look cool, and it'd be a lot easier to animate a zombie mob than to try and hire a bunch of people and do makeup and all that other stuff.
I mean, there is always the possibility of like hiring like five people and then making fake zombies out of all five of those people with computers, but I feel like that would be super expensive. So
I looked into it, and you really need to know what you're doing with that software, and it's you know, otherwise it's going to look really bad. So,
right. So with the novel and the audiobook, I feel like there probably aren't very many changes between the two, like maybe some slight abridgments, but in general you could effectively do an audiobook verbatim for a novel. Were there things that you felt like you had to like cut out of the novel or like add into the movie to make them work?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, the novel is close to 250 pages. So there's a lot in there, and a lot of inner monologues and a lot of thought process, and you'll see a couple of paragraphs and then somebody has a one word reply to a situation. Trying to do that in a movie is a lot more difficult, and some things actually have to change, like locations had to change, events. You know, one of the characters makes a decision to sacrifice himself to save his friends, and in the book there's this probably a half page long thought process before he makes that decision. In the film, he punches a zombie, cuts his hand on his teeth, and realizes, now I'm infected, I'm going to die, you know, on top of everything else. That's how that decision changed to be a visual, you know, visually represented.
Right. So instead of his inner monologue about, you know, this is what I can do to like help my friends kind of thing, you just visually see him get infected and he's like, well, that's it. You know,
basically.
do you feel like, is it kind of like hurting one of your kids to help one of your other kids? Like, do you feel like, I mean, is there like a level of almost, I want to say guilt, but that seems like way too strong of a word. Like, is there maybe even like a level of regret where you're just like, oh, I don't want to take that out, but there's no way I can really translate like this thought process into a film. So I'm going to like, I mean, effectively dumb it down so that it can be part of a movie as opposed to be part of a book.
I wouldn't say there's guilt. There is, you know, I felt more excited about it because it's taking that work and translating it to a new medium and basically creating something new out of it. There are things that I kind of missed when I had to cut them out of the movie, because you've only got 120 minutes tops for most features. And you know, some things did have to change. I knew that going in. Yeah, there's a, I wouldn't say it's guilt. It's exciting. And it's, you know, it's cool to see it change and see it become something else. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's hurting one of my kids to help the other. It's having another kid.
Nice. It's just having one. It's not, yeah. It's not, well, son, I'm going to have to cut off your hand and feed you a zombie horde. going through the whole process, like what has been like the most difficult part about like, you know, getting an animated feature going, or, you know, getting the audiobook done? Like, you know, what parts of it do you think are difficult? You know, a lot of people, you know, if they, you know, a lot of authors, if they have a publisher and they want to do an audiobook and stuff, you know, the publisher kind of takes care of that. But since you're working independently, like, what are the challenges that you face doing that on your
own? Oh, boy. You know, there's A lot of it's probably know-how. You know, when I first started, it was I'm not sure this is going to work. So what I did was I bought a podcast microphone, the best one that I could find on Amazon. I have a lot of equipment to do audio because of the indie films I make. I started in 2009 doing live action. So as I'm moving into this space, I decided I'll take that equipment. I actually found a studio a couple miles from my house where I took a course in sound design. And actually applied some of what I knew to record a novella first, which was only about an hour long. What I learned in that process applies to what I'm doing now. So I've probably spent 50 hours editing. It sounds really good. And I do have to say, you know, go out and learn how to do something if you don't know how to do it, or find people to help you. And the other thing is, in animation, I can't draw, but I found artists who'll help me. Kurt Belcher, who's an indie comic artist, he's been really good doing the zombie designs. And Amanda Poland is my human character designer. And they've been great to work with. And they'll draw the pencils of the characters, and I'll trace over them in my animation software and actually rig them so that they can be animated. So, you know, it's
cool.
It's a team. Yeah, it's a team effort, and it's you can't do it alone unless you can do everything. But you know, there are people out there who will help you, and you know, will help you if you approach them right.
With your novella audiobook, that's IC9, correct?
Yes.
So that unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to listen to it, but I listened to the clip and I read the synopsis and stuff. It's a cyberpunk story, and the trip is like kind of a horror story, and it looks like, you know, you're more drawn towards like genre fiction than, you know, any what would be considered like literary fiction or like serious fiction, which is, in my opinion, a ridiculous way to examine literature, but
I could not agree more.
What is it about the quote-unquote genre fiction that draws you? Is it just like kind of the excitement, or is it the things that you've enjoyed reading in the past? You know, why a cyberpunk story? Why a zombie story? Like, what is it that kind of drives you to approach things from a more fantastical sense than a, you know, broad-based people sense, I guess?
Well, you know, in a lot of the writing classes I've taken, my instructors said if people want reality, they can read the newspaper. And reading the newspaper is kind of depressing at times, and genre fiction is an escape from reality.
People read news. No, sorry.
They used to. That I'm dating myself, I guess.
That's okay. I used to read them too.
But yeah, it's there are limitless possibilities in genre. And, you know, I hear people make the same argument and say, you know, you're not a serious writer if you write genre, or you're not a serious reader if you read genre. I don't think there's anything further from the truth. I mean, you know, it's good work is good work, and it transcends genre. And it's really, you know, I don't want to look down my nose at it. And if you're that kind of person, I'm not going to reach you no matter what I do.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you just have to forget about the people you can't reach and focus on the ones you can, because there are plenty of those out there.
One other thing that I was thinking about, you had mentioned that you had started out making live action films, and now you're working on animated films. Is there like a different thought process? Is it like a whole new challenge to work in animation as opposed to like live action? Or is it easier because you don't have to interact with like an actor, really? Like, you can, I mean, you have somebody helping you with the design. Obviously you have people there helping you, but you can tell an animation, do this, and this is exactly what I want you to do. And there's like no room for that animation to like interpret it differently. Like, is it harder or easier, like, for either one, you know?
There are some things that become much easier. So, you know, like,
jump off this building.
Yeah. I want to blow up a car or a planet or the universe. Doesn't cost any more to do any of those in animation than, you know, you can do pretty much anything you want on that level. You want to blow up a car in real life or a building in real life,
it's going to cost you a few bills.
Yeah. You're looking at a substantially bigger budget, or, you know, using software to make it look kind of like it blew up. But, you know, there are discerning viewers who will say that looks like crappy visual effects. So other things become more difficult in the respect that everything every character does, you've got to manually set up. And like you said, you know, you get exactly what you want, but you have to manually do it. You know, it's a lot easier to pull three or four people into a room and have them read the dialogue and then go back and animate it than sometimes trying to get the lights right and the sound right, get the location. You've only got a location for 4 hours. Can we get everything we need in that period of time? So, you know, it's there are things that are easier and things that are more difficult. And if you thought film was tough, wait till you try animation.
That's awesome. Would you say, okay, so for the aspiring like film artist, would you say it's easier to jump into live action film or animation?
I would say start with live action and get a grasp of the fundamentals of how that works. Then try animation, because animation is a whole totally different animal and it's considerably more complex. You know, you can tell people move this way or move that way in a live action film and get a sense for how things work in reality, and then apply that to animated work if you want to take that, follow that path.
That's it's cool because, you know, the exact thing that you would kind of think is the flaw of working with live action, the ability to just say, you know, in animation, you make it do whatever you want it to do. You know, that would be kind of the inherent flaw of live action. As a director, like, you can only get people to understand it if you can express it correctly. But that's actually kind of the benefit to it as well, is that you get to see, all right, this is how, like, real-life physical interactions work. Look all clunky and weird once.
Right, and one of the things I've been working on for months was my main character has long hair, and I have to make it blow in the wind. And I have to, like, sit here and watch, like, video after video of how hair behaves and apply that in animation and try and figure out how am I going to make that work. And it's a lot of work if you want it to look good. And, you know, you take it for granted when you watch this stuff. But when you're actually doing it, it's like, man, this is a lot.
Is that, like, doing the hair animation, is that, like, the moment when you realize that, like, oh, that's why Peter Jackson has an army of animators?
It is, but then when you finally get it to work, it's like, God damn, this is great.
Did you just, like, sit in your room? You're like, I'm awesome, I did it!
I think I jumped up and I, like, danced around, but there's nobody home for me to say, oh, I made this work, so, okay.
So... You know, I've been a writer for most of my life. You know, I have very few things published, but, you know, I do spend quite a bit of time writing. You know, and you get to that point where you feel comfortable sharing something, and, you know, you like, now I hand it to my wife, who, like, corrects all the grammar, you know. Or before, you know, I would hand it to my uncle, who was like, ah, it's all right, you know. Do you have those moments, like, as a creator where you're like, I got this hair right, and you show it to somebody and they're like, yeah, that look, yeah.
yeah, I do. I do get that. Yep, and I think there are times when I'll write a draft and I get the same thing. You know, oh yeah, this is good. Yeah, okay.
My favorite is that that's a good start. And you're like, I spent weeks on this. Like, I could literally stab you right now.
Oh yeah. I've been through that. I've been through. I've been through This Is Lame after months of working on something and tearing my hair out.
What?
You know, but you do get positive feedback too, and that's the stuff that keeps you going. So, you know, try to focus on that.
Yeah, right. Ignore the haters. They're always going to be there. We live in an internet age where the most amazing thing, no matter what it is, like, I mean, like the Civil War trailer, like, there's Spider-Man. It's awesome. He looks just like Spider-Man, and he takes Captain America's shield, and the trailer's amazing. And what does the internet say instantaneously? Spider-Man looks terrible.
Exactly. And think of all the people who are fans of Marvel's work and how many haters they must have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there's one guy, like, that made Spider-Man's suit, you know, digitally, that's like, you guys, like, I seriously spent like a year and a half on that.
And he's going out and having a stiff drink at all those comments, right?
Exactly. This shot's for this guy. when you're entering the process of, like, creating a new project, like, what is it that, you know, you, like, kind of use to inspire you? Like, do you have, like, a notebook where you keep ideas, or do you just, like, sit down and say, oh, I saw this thing, you know? What is it that, you know, kind of drives your inspiration? Because I know for me, like, when I'm writing, I get inspiration for like really bizarre fantastical situations. Like I feel like I write a lot of weird fiction style stuff, you know, in the vein of H.P. Lovecraft, but not as well crafted, you know.
Like Lovecraft's one of my favorite authors, so you're a nice. You're a keeper.
All right. You know, but I get inspiration from like really weird mundane things that turn into like bizarre fantastical ideas in my head. Like what is it that, you know, kind of inspires you like in your creative process?
I think it's really close to how you work. You know, there'll be something mundane that gets me thinking. And, you know, I think as writers, we think possibilities and what if this or that happened. A lot of times I'll start with a critical moment in the story. And then build from there. It's usually either the black moment toward the end of the story, or it's the opening, you know, something kind of like the Indiana Jones moment where he's running for the plane and coming out of the temple. You know, the unrelated previous mission that's gone haywire and the narrow escape into what's happening now.
And, like, as a filmmaker, do you kind of have, like, those visual moments of inspiration where, like, you see something or, like, you know, you're riding in the car and something catches your eye, like, the way something moves? Like, do you have the same kind of, like, glints of inspiration from the mundane in filmmaking like you do in writing? Because I've never done any kind of, like, filmmaking.
You know, yes. Yeah, I would say there are things that you see and it's like, you know, you could be walking along walking in a park with your kids or on the beach with your wife or something, and you see something that stands out, and sometimes you build a story around that. And, you know, that's – yeah, yeah, it's the same thing. It's just you think visually, and sometimes in some ways film is more limiting, but in other ways it's more liberating too, because you've got – it's a different way of thinking and a totally different mindset. And, you know, I'd encourage you to try it with – take your smartphone and make a movie. You
know? Man, I bet I could wrangle one of my kids and help me do something like that. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It is.
When you set up the interview, you know, you had a lot of projects that you've worked on in the past, you know, stuff that, you know, you wanted to send us to, you know, see where you're coming from and kind of, you know, your ideas and concepts that you have going. You know, you sound like a guy that has a ton of, like, you know, a ton of things going all at once, you know, a lot of pans in the fire, as they say. Are there, you know, you're working on the audiobook, you're working on the animated stuff for the trip. Are there other, like, you know, projects forthcoming? Like, do you have more fiction coming or different audiobooks that you're still working on? Like, I mean, I'd love to know what other things you're...
Sure. I'm starting a paranormal detective series called Witch City. And it's following an organization that's kind of like a cross between the FBI and the Marshall Service for paranormal entities.
Okay.
I am in...
Kind of like, almost like a Men in Black, but for like the supernatural?
Right. Okay, Men in Black.
That sounds really cool.
think if the world knew the X-Files existed and there was a whole organization built around it. That's basically where I'm coming from.
Nice. I like that.
So, oh, thanks. I am almost done with the first book in that series, and I'm probably going to get that to my editor in the next couple of weeks, and I hope it'll hit probably in May or June. I do have three short films written for that series. The intent was to build an audience with books and short films and try and build it into something bigger so I could launch a feature out of it and hopefully crowdfund it, because you need a really massive audience to succeed with a crowdfunding these days. So that is my next big iron in the fire.
Is the crowdfunding aspect of a new book?
Yeah, or a feature. I've tried a couple of times and haven't succeeded yet, but every time I do, I get a little further along.
Nice. Crowdfunding is like a tricky thing. You know, in some instances, it seems like, you know, this is the solution, you know, to, you know, buck against like the trend of like having an agent, getting into like a publishing house or like a film studio as a director or writer, you know, just taking a fan base and having them help you make it. You know, it seems like a perfect solution, but I think a lot of people don't realize how intensely difficult that is. You know,
it is.
You could have thousands and thousands of like Facebook followers and Twitter and Instagram and all this other stuff and still only have like enough people engaged that, you know, you're just getting a little you know, a small amount. Like, no matter how many listeners we have, there's always just, you know, there's a fractional portion of that that are willing to, like, engage in that kind of, like, crowdfunding social aspect of it. Even, like, in social media, like, you don't see, you know, we have 1,500 followers on Facebook, but, you know, a picture will only get so many likes and even less comments. You know, getting the people to, like, really engage is the tricky part of the whole scenario.
Right. You could have 10,000 eyeballs hit that page and you're lucky if one of them clicks the like button.
Exactly. Especially if you paid Facebook for the engagement and, you know, several thousand of those likes are coming from countries where they don't even speak the language that you're writing your page in. That's my frustration with that. Like,
I wish I could reach through this computer and shake your hand right now because I know exactly where you're coming from.
You know, it's funny because, you know, when we first started our Facebook page, you know, we paid for advertising. And I told Juan, I was like, dude, you should stop paying for it because all of our likes are coming from India and Pakistan. And I would never, you know, I would never say there's no way those people are fans of this show because there's a chance. There's a good chance that some of those people, you know, clicked on it and were like, oh, that does look interesting. I'll give it a listen. But there's also a really good chance that those people are literally getting paid to go onto Facebook and like things that Facebook tells them to like, you know.
Yeah. You see, I don't know if you're on Twitter, but you see a lot of that on Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they pop up. And then if you have the apps that tell you who popped on and who popped off, you'll see them appear. Hope that you hit the like button and then they'll unfollow you.
Right.
So it's like, yeah. And anytime we see a profile that says get more Twitter followers, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah,
not touching that one because it's just going to be a glut of people that are getting paid to follow people, which I feel like would be a great job, but I'm sure it doesn't pay anything at all. So, Tim, how can people, you know, find your audiobook, find your, you know, movies, find your actual like books, you know, where can people go to access, you know, all the great stuff that you're putting out?
Sure. The best place to start is I have a website. It's www.timmorgan.us. And there are links to everything there, my books, my YouTube channel, my blog where I post writing advice. And the other social media outlet that I really focus on is Twitter. My handle is at @tmorgan_2100.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Tim, so much for being on our show. Like, we really appreciate it. I can't wait for your audiobook to come out. I'm going to make the effort to listen to it. So
awesome.
Because the plot sounds rad. And I mean, like I said, I didn't have enough time to digest everything that you sent us. I was like, oh my God, all of this looks awesome. And there's no way I can cram it into my brain in a week.
Awesome.
I will slowly be getting through it. But thank you, Tim, for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, if you want to reach out to me, feel free to. You've got my email and you've got my Twitter handle. So thank you so much. I appreciate being on.
Awesome.
Hi, this is David Lucarelli, creator of the Children's Vampire Hunting Brigade. And you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
This is Tom.
This is Jake.
And this is Travis. And we are the Drunken Dork Podcast.
Tune in every week and listen to us discuss the finer points on superheroes, the latest pop culture news, as well as all of our favorite booze.
You can listen to us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or the Stitcher app for Android. And be sure to catch up on all of our episodes by visiting us over at www.drunkendorkpodcast.wordpress.com.
And remember, folks, you have one liver. Ruin it well.
And one, the second, and the third one's always pretty short. Yeah, you don't have anything
this on the show. And John's not back.
It'd be funny. He's like, I've been hearing you guys the whole time.
Fuck that, Julie.
Do you have him muted or something?
No. Oh. He's on. He's just not. He must have put. He probably turned off or something.
Talked away. Nice. Or his whole shop is like listening in rapt attention while I bitch about my ex-wife. It'd be awesome.
Well, we're on the shelf, I think, is where we're at.
Oh, we should do something like that. We should do it. And we're back.
Oh, hello.
Oh, man.
I only have one on the shelf.
Well, what is it?
It's Harrow County.
Which is?
I read the first.
The coolest goddamn comic book ever.
So I read the first three issues. I like it. But it's damn near, and I put that in our conversation on Facebook, damn near the same comic.
But it's
They're
not.
Fucking almost like, exactly the same comic book.
So as Harrow County progresses, it gets very, very different.
Okay. And
like it's – I remember because they came out kind of at the same time. And I remember I was kind of reading issue one and issue – and I would say like right around – issue five is when they really – I mean they're different stories.
Right.
But they start to like really diverge.
But
like,
I mean they both don't know they're like witches or something like that. You know what I mean? They both don't know their secret. There's giant trees looming outside of both houses. Both towns are keeping this secret from both kids. It's quite the weird little coincidence.
There's way more monsters in Harrow County,
right,
as the story goes on, and like the plot of like the kind of the town striking out against the witch is very different. Like the way it plays out is very different. I feel like they're both amazing books, and they both do a great job of what they're attempting to do. But for me, I just like Harrow County a little better.
Right.
You know, and it's that conversation. Like, how can you really compare them? They're very similar, but they end up being very different.
I literally was reading I think it was the second issue, and I was like, I feel like I know this story already. Like, it was just so weird.
Have we done this before sometime?
I looked at the back cover, and I'm like, oh, no, this is Harrow County for sure.
That's awesome. But you can tell, too, because of the art. Like,
it's a little more
Jock's weird splatter art versus Tyler
Crooks. It's a little
bit
more defined, I think.
It's significantly more defined. Yeah. A little more. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, Harrow County's almost cartoony. Like, it's really cool. Like,
The weird thing I noticed in some of the Harrow County stuff that I don't know if I noticed in Witches or if they do it is when you're reading a certain person's dialogue, I can see their face, and the face looks like a face. But the other characters kind of don't have faces, and I don't, or they're just kind of outlined, like you see the eyes, but there's not a ton of detail. And I don't know if that's something he did on purpose, or if it's something that I'm just kind of noticing every once in a while, or what.
That's interesting.
But it's cool because you get the perspective of the person that's talking, and
it helps you focus
you get the
on
feel
that person.
It's a little bit more important, you know. I thought it was cool, and I don't know if it's true to every page, but there was a couple times when I looked at it and I was like, oh,
there's
outlier characters look kind of weird. Like
it's almost like when like in a film when they focus on one person who's talking,
right,
and like the people are kind of faded in the back. That's kind of cool.
It was cool.
I haven't noticed that. Like, I'll have to go look again. So I have a few issues of that to catch up on anyway.
I do too. I think I have three more issues still.
Nice.
It's a good book. I like it. I still where I'm at, and I think some of that has to do with because I've read all of Witches. You know what I mean? I've read that whole first run. Whereas I'm only three deep into Harrow County, so I can't.
Right.
It's not fair to compare them quite yet. Even though they're similar,
they are. They start out similar,
right,
but they definitely take very different tracks.
Which is cool.
Like,
cool. I'm excited to see what's going on. I'm excited that she took almost like a. Like, she didn't know she had powers, but once she kind of started to figure it out, she started, like, commanding stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was really cool. She's like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to use it to my benefit. And I thought that was a cool idea.
And that keeps going. Like, and there's some interesting characters that also have, like, similar powers to her that I'm not going to spoil, like,
right,
who they are and all that. But, like, once that gets entered into the mix where it's, like, almost like this power struggle over the Haints, like, it becomes really, really cool. Like, it's a really great book. I did my wizard reading this week. I read Constantine and Doctor Strange.
Okay.
I love both of those books for very different reasons. Like, Constantine is definitely that, like, you know, scummy street magic, like, you know, fucking John Constantine's a piece of shit. Like, in the last issue I read, he was in hell. And he's trying to escape hell, and like the way he gets out is by fucking conning two people like who are there, and they get stuck in hell and he escapes. I was like, yeah, that's fucked up. That sounds a lot like John Constantine to me.
I wonder if because there's a in an episode of Arrow, they're trying to fight Damien Dark.
Yeah.
And in the dialogue, and it's because I think the same people make the show and the comic book, or somebody similar team, they say, well, why can't you call Constantine to help us? Because they're trying to face Damien's mystical and
yeah. PAs.
And Arrow says, no, he's in hell. And somebody says, you know, something to the effect, oh, something's wrong with him, blah, blah, blah. And Arrow's like, no, he's literally in hell. So I wonder if that's like a throwback to, because it just struck me as you said it. And I think that'd be a cool little connection. But he literally was like, no, he's literally in hell. And I just thought that just reminded me of that when you said that.
The thing that I think I like the best is that his conceptualization of hell is like really, really cool, where the only thing, like, hell is a place that's intended to like torture people,
right,
and like hurt people. And the demons included are kind of in that space. You know, other demons like are, you know, have lordship over lower demons, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
So the only thing that they can really like have control of is souls and the trade of souls. And so you trade souls back and forth to like, you know, buy a chance to like murder somebody or do this or do that, you know, to have like these weird guilty pleasures that the demons have.
Right.
So it comes across as this like trashy, super evil flea market. Like, and it, like the way, like visually the way it is, everything looks run down and shitty.
Right.
And like, it just looks like I don't want to visit there, not because it's hell and that's where sinners go. I don't want to visit there because I might catch something. Like,
it's
you know,
gross over there.
It's kind of gross there. Like, it's interesting. I really like the visual conceptualization. Nice. The other wizard, of course, Doctor Strange. That story arc involves the death of magic in like the Marvel Universe, and that has been really, really cool to see what a depowered Doctor Strange, you know, looks like. And they're starting to explore.
Just a dude in a suit?
Yeah. Just a dude in a cape. Well, shit. You know, but they've explored this this concept. The line they repeat in the book is every punch has a cost. Like, so every time he casts magic, there's negative physical ramifications for him. And okay, that's something that I don't think they've explored very much in previous Doctor Stranges. And honestly, it feels like something that lifted almost directly out of the pages of Constantine, because he talks about that a lot, that there's consequences to using magic and that
right,
there's like bad things that happen. That's why people. So it's interesting because you find out that Wong, his servant, I guess, he's not really a servant
slave.
He's not really a servant in the new run so much as like his confidant.
Right.
Like their relationship is far more progressive than it used to be, you know. So that's nice, but because it's not like crazy racist like it used to be. But you find out that Wong has basically been protecting Strange's body using like other magicians' bodies to absorb the negative consequences of his magic. And as magic's falling apart, all of a sudden all those negative consequences of magic like hit Doctor Strange like full force.
Okay.
And it's a super cool story arc, and frankly the best thing that Marvel's putting out right now. Like, it's just plotting, art, all of it is just hand, like,
I'm
head and shoulders
you,
above a
I'm
bunch
gonna
of
say
stuff.
You comic book guys are so too bitter. Too bitter.
No, I just...
I think you... I don't doubt you.
I mean, I've read a bunch of the other... I've read a bunch of the other Marvel stuff that's come out that's within, like, the kind of same genre, and it's just... It's not even close to approaching right, that level of, like, not just visual artistry, but also just, like, really decent writing and story writing.
Right.
I mean, there's other comics that are doing that, but honestly, Squirrel Girl is like that. I've been reading Squirrel Girl. Super well written, super fun book.
Right.
You know, it's super stupid, but I love it. You know, same with Howard the Duck. It's really well done.
Right.
You know, Chip Zdarsky is probably the perfect person to have write Howard the Duck. You know, they're both great, but they're still like nowhere near close like
right,
what Doctor Strange is right now.
And of course, it's because they're so different.
That's part of it, but I think it's also there's a level of good enough that Marvel allows and that DC allows
right,
that bums me out. That I don't think the other companies are doing. Like, Image doesn't say, good enough. Like, I think there's enough oversight where they're like, this needs to be something special.
I think the biggest difference is that Marvel and DC are so big that if they take chances and something kind of backfires, or they take a risk and it's a little bit too risque, that it can fall back onto the machine. You know what I mean? They just want to put comic books out that it sounds like that are kind of family friendly or just kind of on that verge. And some people will read them. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know
lot of people read them, and that's fine.
I don't think they want to put out something that's too risky, because they have Image and they have, you know, these other smaller companies that can do that. They're still going to be successful because they have TV shows and movies and shit like that,
right?
You know? So I think that's one big difference. I don't know what else.
Don't know. Like,
the well could just be running dry, I guess.
Without the success, without the success of the movies, I don't see how Marvel can continue to put out. I guess, like, I don't want to say subpar, because a lot of the times the art is amazing,
right?
You know, the plotting isn't great, but it can be very good. I just don't know, with so much other stuff out in the market, like how much longer can the big two sustain like a superhero based comic book fandom? Because at some point people grow out of that, and at some point people get tired of that. That's true. A lot of people do grow out of that love of superheroes, and they want something with more.
Not me.
With more meat in the bones. I mean,
I want both.
In a lot of ways, not me either. Like, I still love Batman. I still read Batman, but there was definitely a point in my life where I was tired of reading Batman. Right. You know, I still love Moon Knight, you know, and it took somebody reinvigorating Moon Knight in a very different way through Warren Ellis, like in the latest run, for me to latch back on to Moon Knight. What I'm afraid of is, you know, the gimmicky, like, let's make Falcon Captain America. Let's make, you know, Jane Thor. Let's make, right. You know, sometimes those work, but sometimes it's just gimmicky to like reinvigorate attention, but not necessarily like really reinvigorate the story.
So I guess the other edge to that sword would be, let's say the two big guys fall. You know, let's say they fall and they either stop putting out titles or they just put out some titles.
Yeah.
Don't you think that has a really big impact on the comic the whole?
Oh, absolutely. It would have a huge impact on the comic book industry. And I for one would never advocate that.
Right.
Like, with the history that Marvel and DC have, there are amazing books that have come out. What I'm afraid of is that the amazing books used to be more often and more like right now. Like, month to month, Batman was awesome. I feel like it still is. Month to month, Action Comics was awesome, but not as much anymore.
Right.
Like, it's lagging. But, you know, you have Landis's Superman Alien, you know, where it deals with, like, Superman, in a sense, being an illegal alien.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's, like, this really cool, like, meditative and, like, intense look at what it means to literally not be from this world and grow up in this world. Like, that's really cool, and that's something that very easily could have been just explored within the pages of Superman, but they're uncomfortable doing that because they're afraid that it's going to, like, damage, you know, quote-unquote damage the brand.
Right.
When 30 years ago, that would have just been in the pages of Superman.
Right.
You know? And I think that's what I'm afraid of, is, like, if they continue to, like, do, like, derivative, like, dumb it down, kid it down, push it, you know, not try to push the envelope with the comics, we're not going to get things like the hard traveling heroes, like, you know, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, dealing with racism, drug abuse, and that sort of stuff.
But do you think that people who, because when I think about it, I think about the people who read DC and Marvel stuff the most feels like are new people, because they've either watched the show, they've read the movie, watched the movies.
They may have read the movies.
You know what I mean?
Closed captioning for the hearing impaired, man.
I feel like because of the media, you're getting so many new people into comics. And I feel like if you hit them with that stuff, like, right away, it can sometimes be a downer. Like, oh man, Green Arrow's having to deal with somebody shooting himself up with drugs. You know what I mean? Like,
but I feel like
sometimes that could be a downer.
If you hold it out of the pages of, like, the book proper, it's not doing that story justice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, sure, it might be a bummer to read about people being abusive towards Superman when he was a teenager, but if it's part of the story, if it's part of the pathos, like, yeah, it might be a harder jumping off point for a new reader, but in the end, it's going to be more rewarding for people that have been with it for longer and for the new reader, because they're not just jumping into like fluff. Superman right. saves the day again. They're jumping into Superman saves the day because he feels like he can make the world a better place. Right. Because of his past, you know, same with Green Arrow, you know, Green Lantern, right. Like, you know, there's this whole cosmic drama going on, but there's that moment that they take out of the regular pages to say, you know, hey, you're so busy saving the universe that you're not helping your planet.
Right.
You know, it's not a huge part of the book, but it becomes a monumental part of the overall story.
Right.
You know, the same things, you know, that Batman dealt with Bane, and like this idea that, you know, capitalism subverts like healthy economies and healthy peoples, right. And Bane wants to change the whole system. That was done within the pages of just Batman. It didn't have to be, you know, Batman versus Bane in like a 6-part mini that's right. completely divorced from the regular pages. And it still had plenty of action, plenty of Bane fighting stuff, but then it had the social commentary, right. you know, overlay on it that allows everybody access to it, you know. I think that's more important. I think that's something that's missing a lot of the times from standard comic books. Is this a part where John hears me bitching
and
tells me to fuck off?
No, I like it. I like what you're saying. I think that's what they're catering to, new people, and what they see on TV. I guess they're even changing that in the Civil War stuff. It's not, Joe. You know, it is a little bit deeper. It does feel grittier. You know, so maybe that will change a little bit, but I feel like they're catering to, sometimes that's what they want to read is fluff, or sometimes they're younger. You know what I mean?
That's totally understandable, but I read Batman when Nightfall was happening when I was in like fifth grade.
Right.
And I didn't really get the stuff that Bane was talking about. I just got that he was one of Batman's bad guys. You know, my kids may not understand like the you know, pseudo-communist rhetoric that Bane drops in Dark Knight, you know, Rises,
right.
Or Returns.
Falls?
The third one.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, anyway, they may not like really get what's going on, like, you know, quote-unquote politically there.
Right.
But it still is a cool story to right. them, because here's this big, beefy bad guy that has a stance on why Gotham's horrible and he has to fight Batman.
Right.
You know, so it's just like when I first watched Shrek. There were jokes that my kids laughed at, and then there were the jokes that I laughed at.
Right.
You know, and they were different jokes, but they were still within the same movie. Something can be family friendly
right.
while also catering to like a higher level sure. audience. And I think that takes a lot of craft and a lot of writing skill. And I think that's something that the big two gloss over in deference to say, this is, you know, this is for the mainstream, so we're going to make it an easy write and an easy read. Right. And then this is for our more advanced audiences, so we're going to completely separate it from the canon. And as a consequence, you end up with kind of less impactful books. Like, you know, the things that they dealt with in X-Men, for example, like in the 90s, a lot of the, you know, big fights between, you know, Magneto and Xavier and the X-Men were just that, just big fights.
Right.
But the interior stuff, like the love triangle between Wolverine, Jean Grey, and Cyclops, those interpersonal stories, I feel like a lot of that is starting to go missing, where okay. like the human side of what made comic books great in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s is going away just to cater to new people. Like, how can we give them a new jumping off point,
right.
get them hooked on comics, and then drop another number one like in 12 months and drop right. another number one in 12 months? You know, it's just something that bothers me, but it doesn't make me stop reading comic books, because there's always a Doctor Strange out there. There's always, you know, a Constantine. There's always something. Right. There's always something that DC and Marvel is doing that's awesome. It just isn't always the main thing
right.
that DC and Marvel is doing.
It may never be the main thing.
And that's what bums me out. Right. I want it to be the main thing, because it used to be. Rant over.
It's not a rant.
I know. Let's see. Read the first volume of Frankenstein Agent of Shade. It's the DC like Frankenstein superhero book. It's cool, I guess. Like it's not my favorite thing in the world, but I mean, I enjoy the Frankenstein character, like the intelligent Frankenstein, you know, and Lady Frankenstein is also cool because she's got four arms and shoots lots of pistols at once. And the art was cool and the story was fun. Like, it wasn't the best thing in the world, but I like caught up on Weird Love, always hilarious. The Craig Yeo and his like imprint on IDW is genuinely like one of my favorite things in the world. Like, I'm super, super stoked. I haven't picked it up yet because, you know, we only see John every so often.
Right.
And I get my pull from him. But in February, they came out. So Yo does Haunted Horror and Weird Love. And in February, they came out with a title called Haunted Love, which are like romance stories pulled from like the horror books.
Okay.
So like on the covers, there's like a dude like embracing a skeleton at the graveyard and like, you know, a married couple where one of the like the groom is like a zombie and stuff like that. So
it sounds creepy.
It looks awesome. It looks really, really funny. I read Amazing Forest. It's IDW's kind of like anthology sci-fi-y. You know, it's sort of like heavy metal, sort of like Images Island.
Okay.
But from IDW. It was cool. Like, it was what it intended to be.
Right.
I don't like it as much as Island.
Okay.
And I feel like it might be part of the creative team behind it. It's not the same. I feel like Island, because Emma Rios is at the head of it, it intentionally goes out of its way to find things that are saying something on top of being weird science fiction and stuff.
Right.
Whereas this was just weird science fiction, you know,
for
the sake of being weird, you know.
That's-
so it was good. You know, it's going to stay in my pool. I'm excited to see where it goes, you know. We'll give it a few issues. Who knows? It may be the next Cheval Noir, and I'll love it forever. I want every fucking issue of it.
Why did I badmouth this at the beginning?
Oh, that wasn't a badmouth. Badmouth was like, that was garbage. I used the issue for toilet paper. Like, I didn't say that. I said it wasn't my favorite.
And I used I used it for toilet paper.
I used toilet paper as toilet paper so that my butt doesn't get raw. Watched the Mr. Freeze episode of Gotham.
Oh, it was good.
I have not seen the next one yet. We're going to watch it tonight, but that was rad.
It was good.
Yeah, I love Gotham. I'm so sorry I shit on that before I watched it. Like, it's so good now.
The end was kind of weird for me. I will say that B.D. Wong is doing fucking awesome job. What's his name? Strange. Strange, yeah.
You know what his name is? Doctor Strange.
But I remember B.D. Wong playing like very scientific, like inner, like not a guy who has a lot of emotion, like, cause
right.
He's on SVU, he's on a couple other on TV shows where he doesn't express a ton. He's not really different.
Right.
Even in Jurassic World, when he had to be kind of an asshole, it still was a little restrained, but he turned himself into what I thought was going to be Doctor Strange, and it's awesome. It's really good.
It is really cool. Like, I'm loving where it's going. The show is rad. Like, and it's cool to see like these cool origin stories behind characters that you know thought you knew and loved.
Right.
You know, and just them pushing the limits of like, how far can we take this into like superhero territory without actually introducing Batman, and while still remaining like a cop drama. You know, Donald Logue is hands
always
down
funny.
Steals the scene every time he's in it. Same with I can never remember the guy that plays Nigma.
Oh, I don't know his real name.
He nails it like every time. That guy's creepy. I don't ever want to meet him. So it's good times.
I'm caught up on everything except for Legend. Only thing I haven't
been watching Lucifer. That's like my,
yeah. I guess I haven't even watched that show.
That
so
is like my guilty pleasure. Like people badmouth it like all the time, and just like, I don't know. It's just fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the devil be an asshole.
Right.
You know, and the subplot is that, you know, he's actually the best angel. And
right.
That he was given the most important job. And he's starting to like come to terms with that and all this other stuff. I don't know. There's like weird psychological drama involved. And it's cool. I really dig. Really, my only other on the shelf has to do with a totally uncomic book related movie. My wife's birthday was just, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And she, at first she was like, for my birthday, I want to go see Deadpool.
Oh,
and I was
right.
Like, I was like, oh my God, my wife is amazing. You know? And then she's like, wait a second. I really want to see The Witch too.
Oh my God, you're not amazing anymore.
No, I was like, oh my God, you're like twice as amazing. Like, those are the only two movies in the theater I want to see right now. And ultimately, she decided that she would rather watch The Witch than Deadpool. So,
right.
A, I still haven't seen Deadpool. And B, I got to see The Witch. So,
funny, that's what some people say about their wife.
Yeah, not me. Smarter than that. It's a good way to get punched right in the face.
Going home to see The Witch.
So, if you don't know, The Witch is the story of a Puritan family that is like basically kicked out of their community because the father has said something that the council like disagrees with. You know, they don't really get into what it is, but he basically says, no, I won't take it back. And so they move to this plot of land that's like on the edge of the forest. Okay. And like, you know, they start living there. They start planting plants, crops, I mean, whatever. And the daughter, the oldest daughter, goes out to the edge of the woods. She's taking care of the baby. She's playing peekaboo with the baby. And one of the times she covers her eyes and she uncovers it. And the baby's okay. So introduce the witch. There's an actual witch in the woods. Okay.
Okay.
That is the folklore style, like satanic witch. You know, she's had dalliances with the devil, and as a consequence she's forsaken her soul and she gets like these extra powers to fight people encroaching on her land and whatever.
Right.
The whole movie is a period piece. They speak in like dialogue from the late 1600s.
Okay.
So there's times where you're just like, say what? You know, especially when the mom, she gets like really emotional. When she
right.
gets emotional, she gets shrieky. And when she gets shrieky on top of the language and the accent, it's like, huh? But
I don't know what's going on.
You know, and normally that would be something that bothers me, but it isn't for this.
Right.
You know, it works really. As the story progresses, there's this magic sense of the devil encroaching the witch, and things get progressively worse and like bicker with each other.
Is it just because the proximity to the witch is what changed? Is that really the only thing why the witch is attacking them or whatever?
Yes. Like basically okay. She sees the opportunity to attack these people that are isolated.
Right.
And they're not just isolated from their community. They're also isolated in their faith. Like, you know, what they believe is very, very dogmatic and to the point where like the dad buys bear traps, okay, or like animal traps
right.
to help feed the family. But the way he does it is that he sells his wife's father's like silver chalice. It's literally the only thing they have in their house is decorative or has any value. But he allows the wife to believe the daughter has somehow lost it.
Okay.
And like that very simple like white lie, because their faith is so weirdly dogmatic, gets blown way out of proportion.
Okay.
Like to the point where the mom is accusing the daughter of like trying to seduce the dad and
okay.
the brother and being a witch. And like all this other stuff. And just like the whole thing kind of spirals out of control with this overlay of like this folkloric, like supernatural that's in the woods.
Okay.
It's super understated. Like there's a few like boo parts, but it's like two. There's like two of them, you know, and even then, like they're not intended to like really make you jump out of your seat. They're intended to like creep you out.
So it's more of a thriller.
It's very much so a thriller. It reminded me a lot of The Ninth Gate. I don't know if you've seen that movie with Johnny Depp, but where it's just like this slow burn, like gothic, dark movie, not so much like a scary horror movie.
Like The Secret.
Yeah, a lot like The Secret Window, which is a very similar. It's really cool. It's probably my favorite movie that I've seen so far this year. I really, really liked it. When we get to
year-end wrap-up.
When we get to year-end wrap-up, it's probably going to be pretty high on my on my movie list. I loved it. It is exactly the kind of horror movie that I like to see, but doesn't get made very often. Like, another great example is House of the Devil, the Ty West movie, where, like, the first, like, it's a 2 hour long movie. The first, like, hour and 50 minutes of it, almost nothing happens except for tension building. And then, like, the last 10 minutes is a total shit show. Like, and you're just like, oh my God, oh, satanic sacrifice, holy shit. Like, what the fuck is going on right now? You know, it's definitely my speed of horror movie. Nice. I really, really liked it. I was really stoked that my wife got to see it. But then I got to bump into, like, one of the only quibbles I have with people when it comes to movie watching. Like, I think we got into this with Prometheus, and I hate to say that word.
Okay.
But, like,
okay.
I like to watch movies for their face value. Like, right. I don't necessarily need everything to have, like, an explanation or any of that.
Right.
This movie is literally meant to be, this is the folklore and magic that, it's one of those movies where we know now through science and history that part of the Salem problem and why the witch trials happened was they were eating rotted bread that had ergot in it. And when they ate the ergot, it, like, caused them to hallucinate. So they very well may have seen their neighbor flying through the air. It wasn't really happening, right. But they may have seen that, you know. Scientifically, we know that. And my wife knows that. So at the end of the movie, when, like, you know, Satan makes somebody sell their soul to him, my wife's like, oh, they shouldn't ergot, and it takes you right out of it. You know, the science isn't what the movie's about.
Right.
The movie's about the folklore. The movie's about the folktale. The movie is effectively a super dark fairy tale, and that's what it should be. Like, you don't need to, like, throw truth into it because it's just
it's a
fairy tale. Like, and it's meant to be that way. And that's how I am. Like, I don't need to overanalyze it. If I enjoyed it, I enjoyed it.
Right.
And if I didn't,
it sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool movie. I loved it.
Well, why don't we just move into Old Man?
Okay.
Now that we're here. Let's not take a break. We don't need breaks.
Breaks.
Fuck breaks.
By law, for every 2 hours I work. No, just kidding.
You're not work. Side note.
Yes, I am. I have a contract for 100 episodes, and I haven't brought it up very often for a long time.
Oh, man. We're almost halfway through that.
Are we really?
We're 12 episodes away. I mean, I guess that's pretty close to 50, I would say.
Yeah, 40's sort of close to 50.
We're at 38, so.
In the same way that, you know, 35 is close to 50 or 30 is close to 50.
Well, it's closer to 50 than it is zero.
This is true. Well played. Man, what are we going to do for our 50th episode?
I don't know. So I reached out. I don't know if you saw in the email, because I don't know if you read the email. Sometimes you do, and I don't know that we get emails because you don't tell me. So
yes, I do. Every time I read something that's important,
not every time. I'll look at the Gmail account and be like, what the fuck? I didn't know this was here. But I reached out to the tavern, or the, not the tavern, the...
Crest?
No, in Fort Collins. The bar. The nerdy bar. What the fuck is it called?
Oh, the...
Draft something?
Dungeons and Drafts.
I reached out to him.
Yes, we did it! we pulled it out of our tired parent and stonered brains.
Oh, man, I'm tired. And the one of the owners said he invited us to something this month, and I didn't think we could for this month.
Right.
But he's like, they do... a thing where people are playing N64 and they're having dance contests, doing cosplay stuff. So there's a whole, like, event thing that they do. And he invited us to it. And I thought, you know, maybe not this month, but we could probably do in a month when we can pull it, when we have the time
to actually pull it together. Because there's a lot of schedules going on.
Right. So that would be something really cool. And they're usually pretty full. And that's a place where, with them being full, there you get a lot of people who are like us and who might want to talk about things that we're talking about, you know what I mean?
Right.
We talk about idiots dancing or whatever, and I think that would be a good time. I think that would be a little bit more interactive than what we did at the Cress. I think it'll be a good time when we do it. But there's a couple feelers. I know we were trying to do something in Denver, and I don't know that ever.
Yeah.
But I think Dungeon Draft's a cool spot to nice. Do something.
We gotta do something cool for our fifth.
Yeah, I don't know what, but we gotta do something.
We gotta do. I feel like we should do something live that we like make people come to, like forced busing style. Make people come to.
I will come pick you up. Not me.
Somebody else. Probably be me. So anyway, old man.
Old man. Old tired man.
Yeah, this is true. So you know, you get to that point in your kids' lives, and you'll get there eventually, where blah 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 alien, and your son goes,
oh yeah.
Your son goes, alien. What's that about? What do you mean? What's that about? I've never seen that.
It's in
you
the go, name.
Oh, holy shit. What do you mean you haven't seen that? Of course, I mean, he's 11. So, you know, of course he hasn't seen it.
Of course you haven't.
So I'm to the point in, you know, the two oldest kids and soon, so where I can go back and watch that I was a kid.
Right.
With my kids.
Right.
And so, you know, I sat down and watched Alien, and now I've sat down watching with Ashton. It was like a totally different experience because Ashton's a lot like me when I was a kid, where things just excite him right. and he goes like crazy. And like, I mean, I've told you the G.I. Joe story where he stood up in the middle of the theater and screamed, "That's badass," right. at the Joes, you know. So we're watching it, and there's the scene where Ash, who's the android, attacks Ripley.
Right.
Okay. And my son just goes, "What the fuck? How'd he get so fucking strong?" Like, I'm like, you know, just
keep watching.
I'm just like, keep watching. And then, like, you know, the other character comes in with a fire hydrant and fucking knocks his head right off. And Ashton just goes, "What is going on?" Like, just, you know, he has no conceptualization that there could potentially be an android on the ship because he's never seen the movie before. And he's never, you know, maybe he's seen like, you know, allusions to the chest burster in like Spaceballs.
Right.
But past that, he was so unprepared for all of it. And it was so awesome because he just, you know, and I'm realizing,
what kind of movie did we start watching all of a sudden?
Like, I realize, you know, the very next question, because he knows that there's Alien versus Predator movies.
Right.
Okay. And I don't think he's seen any of them, but he knows that that exists. And like, he's seen comics of it. He's all, "Well, what are the Predator?" And I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I get to sit down and watch Predator with somebody that knows literally nothing about it.
Right.
So, you know, you had recommended watching Predators, and
right.
and Matt did too.
With, like, Andrew Brody.
Yeah, Matt said Predators was pretty cool too. Right. That, you know, it kind of had the feel of the first one. Like, almost a remake, but different.
Right.
You know? I'm going to watch it. I want to. It sounds awesome. I would definitely actively seek it out and watch it. But I will never be able to see it without the preconceived notions of, you know, Predator, Predator 2, the three Aliens versus Predator movies.
Right.
Like, I'll never be able to watch it with, like, that clean palette of I have no fucking idea what's about to happen.
Right.
I get to see my son react to fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger covering himself in mud to, like, fool, like, the heat sensing system of the Predator. I get to see Ashton react to the miniguns shooting until they're just spinning, which I thought was, like, the coolest shit ever when I was a kid. You know, I get to actually watch Predator, and I'll probably, you know, it'll probably be Bailey, Ashton, and I, because she wants to see it too.
Nice.
I will get to watch Predator with somebody that has zero preconceived notions about what he's going to do. And that, like, the pure joy of watching those movies when I was a kid, that's what it was all about. Like, the first time I saw the first Terminator movie, it was mind-blowing.
Right.
Same with Alien. I think I saw Aliens first when I was youngest.
Okay.
You know, saw it on, like, TV or something like that. But it, like, fucking blew my mind. Like, the Space Marine, the fucking Xenomorphs and stuff. And even, like, literally yesterday, we're sitting, you know, Matt and Marika came over and we're sitting at the table and we're just talking about stuff. And, you know, I was joking with him about Prometheus, whatever, because it's funny. Like, Marika heard me say the word Prometheus and she goes, "No, don't even fucking start. Don't talk about it." I was like, no, no, Ashton wants to talk with Matt about Alien. Like, right. That's kind of his thing. And I had said Prometheus because I told Matt we're going to watch him. Alien, Aliens, Alien 3. And then it's like, really what we're going to do is Alien, Predator, Aliens, Predator 2.
Okay.
Alien 3 and 4, then the Alien versus Predator movies, then Prometheus, then Predators. Like, nice. Okay. Like, I have a whole schedule planned out. Okay. But, you know, but Ashton was like, you know, can you kill him? Like, do the xenomorphs die? Like, they set it on fire. They shot it with guns. They shot it into space, and it was still fucking alive. And Matt's like, have you seen Aliens yet? And he's all, no. He's all, oh, they can die. You know, and, like, it's cool because Ashton has, like, this wondrous curiosity about right. it because he has no idea what's going to happen next. And that's super cool.
That like, is really cool.
You know, that even in the information age, there's like those blind spots, like where you can't know everything. Like,
well, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. Like, it's wonderful that there's still that moment of like just pure joy
right.
at discovering something new that's super nerdy and super awesome. I mean, it's like the first time he read a Deadpool comic.
Right.
He didn't realize that a superhero could be kind of a bad guy and an asshole, you know, and he thought that was so hilarious and so funny that he was completely sold on it instantaneously.
And I think that's why I liked Prometheus so much. And you know, we're not going to argue about it. It's just...
Yeah, that's over.
The reason, I think that's why, because I was so excited because I loved the older movie and I was excited for something new and fresh and something different. And that's what I got.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting... You know, anything else. I see, that's the beauty of my brain, is I can shut it off to what else is going out, you know, on around yeah. the movie. I can go into a movie, even though the last movie might have been total garbage, and go, I don't care. I'm going to come in, I'm going to be fresh, and we'll see what happens. And I think that's why, you know, I didn't come in with it preconceived. I just wanted to see it.
And cool, I think that's...
movie.
I think that's exactly why I was okay with Prometheus 2, is like it had been so long since there had been an Alien movie that I was just like, you know what, whatever, let's see what happens.
Right.
And like, you know, in the build up to it, I was super uninterested, and the first time I saw it, it rubbed me the wrong way. But watching it again, like after so many, like after a couple of years,
right.
I was just like, yeah, whatever, let's watch it. And it was awesome. You know,
yeah,
it just kind of was fun.
And that's you know, I can do that with anything. The new premiere came out, Rocky Balboa, when that came out, I was like, I don't know, like, this is going to be kind of weird, but I went into it going, okay, I'm excited. It's different. It's been a while. Let's see what happens. And that's...
I loved Rocky Balboa because that was like my dad and I. Like, right. there was so much nostalgia attached to watching Rocky that when I got to take my son and my dad to watch Rocky Balboa, it was just so like... emotional
right.
and awesome for me that could have been the worst movie of all well, time. And I still would have just been like, it's so great.
And that's kind of my point, is, you know, are any of these movies the best movies ever? No, of course not. But I can walk into
everybody knows that's the Seven Samurai.
Yeah. I can walk into a movie and go, okay, I'm not going to worry about anything around it. I'm just going to watch them. You know, for me, Terminator 1 was not the greatest movie in the world. It just wasn't. And I don't know if that just was because I was little or what, but as soon as I and that could have turned me off to Terminator 2, but as soon as I saw Terminator 2, I was hooked, and I fucking loved everything about it.
Yeah,
like that movie was the shit when I was little. I could watch it
I did
never
watch
get tired
it like 100 times.
It was just great because I walked into it not worrying about how I felt about it. I just walked in to watch this one, and I think that's
and guns and that's what sold me on watching Terminator 2 the first time, by the way, was how Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 was kind of the soundtrack to Terminator 2, but not really. It was awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh, Guns N' Roses, you were so shitty.
No way. They were awesome.
No, not live, they weren't.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
They were a fucking crapshoot live, man. You might not even get to see them. Fuck you, Denver! Boo!
We're getting the fuck out of here!
Set Axl Rose on fire! Oh, man.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah,
I like it. I'm excited to see what he's about the whole rest of the
franchise. I can't wait to watch Predator with him. So when I was a kid...
I'm surprised he hasn't seen it, because that's not really... I mean, when I think of Aliens... versus Predator, not the movie, but like comparing them together.
Yeah,
Aliens is definitely like a scary,
it's
dark
way
movie.
More intense,
and
yeah.
Predator is more action. It's not really a scary movie, so I'm surprised he hasn't seen that one yet.
It's just, it's one of those things where he just hasn't, because he hasn't really shown any interest in it, you know. But I mean, he's seen Kickboxer. Like, I made that happen. Kumite. Kumite.
That's Bloodsport, fool. That's two different movies.
No, it's not. You can't tell me that that's two different movies. That's
Kickboxer was way worse than
being shushed by your son.
Yeah. I was going to buy, I can't find one of those headbands where he fucking grips it at the villain. I was going to buy one of those too, but I couldn't find one.
That's awesome. I don't know, like, there's so many of those movies that were just, like, so fundamental to, like, my childhood that now it's super, super awesome to, like, watch them with kids.
Right.
And then
I agree.
And then they're like, let's watch again. I'm like, no.
Let's
watch something different. There's tons of cool things that came out before you were born.
Oh, man. Well,
I think that's an episode.
I think we're in or out. Are we in or are we out?
That's what she said.
Hey. Take us out, Gabe.
Well, the basics are you've just listened to an episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Yes.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
And John was on here earlier. If you would like to talk to us or have us talk about you, you can check us out.
Or
on
talk shit to you.
That does happen fairly regularly. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, on Instagram, Twitter, or Periscope. At Outside Long Box. You can send us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. You could probably like send us a letter if you wanted.
No, that... I don't want to give you.
Oh, I'll give you Juan's address.
No, I'm out.
I mean, if you wanted to, I bet you could email Juan and ask him his address, and then he would allow you to send him
a letter.
Which
has happened. Tim Morgan is sending us a couple of versions of the hard copy of The Trip.
Nice.
So we can give them out to listeners. We'll
probably do a little contest
of some sort. Yeah.
But so we'd like to thank Tim Morgan for being on the show.
Yes.
We'd also like to thank our three most important people of all time, Dom, Matt,
our
and
wives?
Marika. No, for the show.
I'm just kidding.
For the show. All three of our wives?
Well,
oh, I mean, I guess
they're
John's.
Very important to all of us, yeah.
Well, no,
oh, you skipped John?
About...
See, there you go. You're kicking him out again.
Shut the fuck up. Anyway, Dom, Matt, and Marika, thank you so much for helping us do the show. Like, it means the world to us. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/TOTLB. We do shirts. Marika just got her shirt. You can be 003 for the low, low price of $5 a month. You know, we'll make up a hashtag for you and probably tell lewd jokes about you and be like, that guy's got an ass that won't quit. And by that, I mean it just keeps farting. Like,
Dom.
No, Dom doesn't fart. Dom peace.
True.
Dom hashtag Dom peace. But yeah, we love interacting with you guys. So please hit us up on social media. We also would like to receive phone calls from you.
Yes.
We have a phone number. We talked about it earlier in the show. It is
970-573-6148.
Please get on our phone line. We want to hear your walkout songs. You know,
oh, that's right.
What song would your superhero come out to if they were a wrestler? There's been some really awesome hints at it on CCB. I don't want to give any of those away because I want to hear if other, like, I want to see if other people come up with the same stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but you know, quick example. My two examples were Kazar. Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. And then Batman, Back in Black by AC/DC. Like, so what would your favorite superhero or just fucking comic book character come out to? You know, maybe you have an awesome song that Miracle Man would walk out to or something weird like that. So we want to hear from you. Please interact with us. We love talking about you guys on the show. It was cool to, you know, talk through some of the comments on Facebook this time because there were some good ones.
Yeah.
Fucking especially about that weird love. Yeah, that was
funny.
That made my goddamn day.
Funny.
Nah, cook for me. So, with that said, this has been Thinking Outside the Long Box, episode
38.
We are only 12 away from 50.
Yes.
which is
5 or 6 months from now.
Which is, according to Juan, way closer to zero or 50 than it is to zero.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's again, what is it? 369. So we're more than a quarter of the way through?
Yeah, there you go. Whatever. It just means I'm 62 episodes away from quitting.
No, from being fired.
From being fired. Or from getting a...
Gabe, we're going to have to release you from your contract.
Or from getting a Thinking Outside the Long Box tattoo.
Yes, exactly. See, you got to save a spot on your body because you're filling up pretty quick.
I'm not filling up very quick. I haven't gotten a tattoo in like 2 years, man.
That's not true. You got that one not too long ago.
A year. It's been like a year. My bad. Oh, we're looking for somebody to help us design a logo.
Oh, yes.
This is a good bully pulpit for that. You know, it means that they are forced to listen to me because they're already listening to the show.
Okay. So. Okay, I'm good.
Anyway, that's what it means. You asked, your fault. So we're looking for somebody that would be willing to design a logo for us for Thinking Outside the Long Box that we can put onto like stickers and shirts and stuff like that. If you have an idea, if you're a graphic designer or you know somebody, please send them our way. Like I said, you can contact us through any of the social medias. We would be super stoked to work with one of our fans to do something like that. So hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever's. Yeah. And past that, this has been Thinking Outside the Long Box. We fucking love doing this show.
Yes.
We want to hear your projects, your things. If you have a project that you are even thinking about doing, fucking do it, and then tell us about it and come be on Thinking Outside the Long Box. Yes, sir. Peace out, motherfuckers.
Who are you again?
I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm John.
He always has a woman's voice.
I'm John. I'm a Muppet. Mop, 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 mop.
It will be a killer and a chiller and a thriller when I get the gorilla in Manila.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cassius Marcellus Clay. He's young, he's handsome.
They know it.
I can pound a drink of water and kill a dead tree.
Don't mess with Muhammad Ali.
I've done something special. I've wrestled with an alligator. I've tussled with a whale. I've handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail.
I'm as confident as I say, and I'm better than I say I am.
I'm a poet. I'm a prophet. I'm the resurrector. I'm the savior of the boxing world. If it wasn't for me, the game would be dead.
This episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box was brought to you by the letters B and S and the number 666, and our fans, Matt, Marika, and Dom. Thanks, guys, and be sure to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TOTLB.
Cash is famous by slave name. I'm no longer a slave. What does it mean? And Ali means most high.
No, it's Black Muslim is the name you give it and the press give it. We're not Black Muslims. My religion is Islam, which means peace.
Everything good to authority was made white. If you look at Jesus, we see a white with blonde hair and blue eyes. Now, I'm sure if there's a heaven in the sky and the color folks die and go to heaven, and where are the color angels? They must be in the kitchen preparing the milk and honey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Muhammad Ali has just refused to be inducted into the United States Armed Forces.
No, I will not go 10,000 miles from here to help murder and kill another four people simply to continue the domination of white slave masters over the dark people.
Your religion says you not to kill, but you will kill.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.